Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Let's take another call. You have to turn your radio down. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yes.
You have to turn your radio down.
I'm sorry?
You have to turn the radio down in the background there.
Turn the radio down, yeah.
Yeah.
Turn the radio down! Down! Turn it down! I'm on the radio! Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, sorry about that.
That's
you know,
okay.
People I live with, they just...
That's all right. It's unfortunate we don't have a better system here, so...
Who's the what?
It's unfortunate we don't have a screener here to let you know to do that in advance, so...
Oh, okay. My question regarding the rent controls
mm-hmm.
that I think are about to be lifted any moment in New York City, because I believe that the landlords who do, in fact, complain about Michael Mara's taint are, in fact, turning the whole world upside down, eating their own placentas and having stinking belly buttons with...
You're finished. You're making so little sense, I'm not even going to continue that conversation.
The Don and Mike Show.
I carry a gun everywhere I go. I make it feel really good for you, hon.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
As you know, it's Big Hair Thursday. Hi, Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Yeah! How you doing on Hair Pie Thursday?
Hair Pie!
Don and Mike Show, and it's Stinkin' Thursday. S-H-I Thursday, as we used to say back in the day.
Oh, those were the days.
Don and Mike Show on the air. You can call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
No, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You didn't watch it, did you, Buzz?
No, I did not.
You missed it. It was another good one.
Really? Another good one?
And
you were telling me you know how to watch it the right way now.
Oh, and lucked into it.
The way?
Last night, got home, started talking to my gal about dinner. American Idol was on TV. We got our TV plates ready, got our meal ready. By the time we got to the TV room, 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Thank you, TiVo. We worked the time skip perfectly. We didn't watch any commercials. And we caught up to real time at 9:51.
Perfect.
So if you start watching American Idol like at 8:20 or 8:25 on a two-hour show,
right?
You catch the whole thing with no commercials with TiVo. Beautiful.
Took it right up to the street musician, the fat street musician who was very out of touch like so many of them were.
And then if you want to, you got time to, you know, back up on the tone-deaf girl to see if she was playing them or not.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Quite a few... you know, people that were there for their 15 minutes last night.
Like I was telling Janet last night when we were watching American Idol, at this point, the show's been on so long, a lot of these people know exactly what they're getting into. Like,
yeah.
The chick who had auditioned twice before and made it through, when she didn't make it,
she did a little Broadway melodrama speech.
Yeah. Her meltdown, she had to know that was going to make TV. And at one point, I think Simon Cowell even said to her, "Why are you upset? You're going to be on TV again."
Yeah, exactly. And she had a good voice. She'd just been there three times, but she had to know that her little soliloquy was going to be broadcast on national TV.
So who was the best heart last night, do you think?
Not as good as the week before, either night. I mean, I think that it's hard. I like the psycho lady. The lady that couldn't sing.
The cowboy hat, the tone-deaf lady.
And she began to sob uncontrollably after being giddy. And I also like the bouncy little black girl, the round little black girl.
She had dog teeth,
and she was so upbeat. It was such a contrast. That was kind of pathetic, but it was real.
Was the cowboy hat girl, was she the one that said, here's my plan, to be the American Idol, you don't have to be a singer?
Yeah, that's the one that I like the most.
And you're going to teach me how to sing?
And I believe I said to Carla at that moment, I said,
beautiful.
She's ill. She's disturbed. I really think that, that's what I look for, you know, whether they are for real, whether they're legitimate. And she looked, you had that lady, that guy the week before, the big fat guy that was challenged, and then you had that lady last night who I believe, she needs some serious help. She needs some very serious help.
And the one thing that they got to do away with, like that guy at the very beginning,
yeah,
the annoying guy who was on So You Can Dance, mm-hmm. the guy who we don't know is gay, straight, Jewish, Italian.
The professional reality show contestant who is there without any desire to make the show. He's there for his 15 minutes.
Yuck. And if you were watching American Idol on DirecTV on satellite last night, you get the feed from the station in New York.
Yeah, they billboard this guy who's going to be there.
Yeah, and every time as they go to commercial, they go, tonight on Fox 5 New York. And it's that face that goes, hi, in case you didn't see enough of me, I'm back.
Yeah, and it's just tired act.
Yuck.
Yeah. You know, it's like Harvey Fierstein without the gravelly voice.
Buzz, I can't tell you what you're missing out on.
I don't think you can. I mean, I've seen it, and it just...
And the best reality of all was the reality of Simon not showing up for the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was too hungover because they partied till the wee hours of the morning.
One of the contestants was screaming. They were out drinking till 3 a.m.
Wow.
They start the show the second day without him.
Yeah, they actually don't have Simon there. I found myself at first being kind of pissed. I'm like, are they going to go the whole show without him being there?
And it was pretty worthless because you had Carol Bayer-Sager doing her best Joan Collins impression who hadn't said two words in the previous episode. Suddenly she was the one that was deciding who's going to go through and not going to go through.
Carol Bayer-Sager, who could be 90 years old, but she's got so much of the... Yeah, she's almost unrecognizable. She almost has a plastic head. So much makeup.
And she's not the real deal anyway. And I like the way that they dissed her. When I say real deal, she's not one of your all-time... Great.
Well, she's not a performer. She's more of a singer-songwriter. Right. She's a singer-songwriter, but she's more of a songwriter.
But even in that case, they cheap her out when they were doing her bio.
You saw some of the songs. I'm like, wow.
They had Groovy Kind of Love.
That's what Friends are for.
Written like in the 60s. And on that one, they made sure to say that she wrote that when she was married to Burt Bacharach. Like, she came up with a lot of her best stuff when she was working with Burt Bacharach, which is really his stuff.
Right. Yeah. She's one that definitely falls into the category. There was a montage of Simon not understanding things. And mispronouncing the names. And they had a future episode where there was a blonde sitting there at the judge's table, and I could recognize her.
Looked to me like Olivia Newton-John.
That's who I thought it was.
Oh.
That's Olivia Newton-John?
She's not been well.
Okay.
She's had face cancer, Mike.
And her husband is missing.
No, I don't think she's had face cancer. She's had some kind of cancer.
So that's who that was, Olivia Neutron Bomb?
Yep, she got like a Mac Davis face.
Been through some stuff.
I believe.
Okay, so that's who I thought it was.
Boob cancer. So last night, anyway, I had kind of lost track of time because we were watching this thing on TiVo with no commercials. And I guess at about 9:40, the phone rang. And... at this point, American Idol is, to me, such serious business.
I know.
I don't chat with Rob or anything. Even at this point, even though it's preseason,
right.
I'm looking at it entirely differently now.
Sure.
Because now I'm thinking, maybe I can actually make my pick for the schmuck that's going to win this thing out of all these people that they're showing.
Right.
So there's no phone calls. There's no contact or anything. Phone rings. And I pick it up, and I'm like, hello? How dare you call now?
Right.
Thinking that it was Rob. And it turns out it was my daughter.
Oh.
And she said, hey, Daddy-O, what are you doing? I said, like everyone in America, I'm watching American Idol right now. I said, don't you watch the show? She said, no, I don't.
Oh,
no.
God bless her.
You like that, don't you, Buzz?
I do.
I said, I find that hard to believe. I said, are the kids asleep? And she said, yeah.
Huh.
I said, and you got the TV there? She said, yeah. I said, really, sweetie, I can't talk to you now. And she said, why? And I said, because it's American Idol. Okay, goodbye. I'll see you later.
It's a good television program.
I'll see you later. I hung up the phone,
uh-huh.
And I said to my girlfriend, I said, do you think I handled that right? I mean, was I like a dick with her? And turns out, no, wasn't at all.
Right.
I was very polite with her.
Did you call back after the show?
Yeah, I called back at like at 10:01.
Good.
I said, hey, how you doing? She's like,
now how are you?
Yeah, that was pretty. She said, well, is your show over? And I said, ah, listen, it's everybody's show.
Well, in fairness to you, there are not a lot of people that, you know, we get laughed at when we say that, but we come in here and we talk about it. It is relative to what we do for a living. We kind of have to watch it.
Yeah, but it's
important to watch it. It's also fun to watch.
It's a stretch, though. But
yeah, it is a stretch.
Because we don't have to talk about it.
But
really.
Everyone has been sucked in. My father, who didn't watch it for 4 seasons, is now on board.
Right.
And I was speaking to him on the way home last night, and I said, keep in mind, there's a two-hour Idol tonight. And he said, 2 hours? That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to be really careful how you refer to that.
That's how they get you. The two-hour episode is fantastic.
It is wonderful, no matter how gay it sounds.
Wonderful.
Don and Mike Show. Hey, you cats in the back room, I'm not getting anything on this screen right here. Oh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
How are you? Hey, man, you're talking about watching the show 20 minutes later. That's an old TiVo trick. I mean, you know, TiVo Pro, that's what you do. That's how you miss the commercials every
sure.
show.
Understood. I know the concept of TiVo.
Because sometimes your schedule does not allow for that. You're eager and you want to say you don't want to wait.
It didn't mean to imply that I had just learned that. It was just I lucked into the...
Who would not learn that the moment they had a TiVo installed?
I just lucked into the...
You lucked into it. I thought you didn't know.
Nah, I just lucked into the perfect time last night where it was just the right time to start the show like at 8:25 and watch everything and back up what I wanted to see again
right.
and have a timeout perfectly for 10 p.m.
It's the best. It's the greatest.
That's the good trick. I thought make sure you knew, man.
All right. Thank you.
He was looking out for you.
Absolutely.
Well, like I always say, Mike, who's looking out for you?
Thank you. Who's in the no-spin zone?
Go change your diaper, baby. Oh,
that kid enjoyed it. That kid that was kidnapped enjoyed it.
I don't know what happened to the Bill O'Reilly tape. I got a drunk Nick Nolte tape.
Oh, that's always good.
Really? A brand new drunk Nick Nolte tape.
Oh, now
correct?
That's exciting.
This new?
Yeah.
From when?
An Australian radio station interviewed him at Sundance.
Okay, here we go. Drunk Nick Nolte.
Brad Blank's Nick Nolte. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
A film with animation. How do you handle going into a booth and stating these great lines?
Well, you just use the lines. You go in the booth. Yeah. Say the lines. You know?
It's different to acting, though, isn't it?
Not really. No. You're still lying.
Yeah.
You're lying for a living. Good actors are. They lie. You're good liars for a living.
You have a wonderful Irish accent.
Yeah, I don't know where it comes from. You got to get a New York accent.
Now, being here in the snow, you come here a lot. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I do.
How do you handle these wild nights of all these crazy people running around you?
Yeah. At 70,
yeah.
I don't. You know, I just... I can't even get an erection anymore, so I, yeah.
You're a good-looking 54-year-old.
Yeah. No.
You're not 70.
Yes, I am. I was born in 1935.
Nick Nolte's not 70.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte, any advice for a young man like me?
Just, evolve into a new consciousness.
I'll drink to that. And get that in a bottle.
He sounded a bit like Joe Ardinger to me.
He sure did. I mean, that is a long day of drinking right there.
Evolved a new consciousness. I'm a teacher.
Well, that's a good tape.
Yeah. Come on,
man. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how are you?
Howdy, what's up?
Hey, you know the best part of the show? I don't know if you've noticed how the people crash into the left-hand door, and then they all say at the same time, other door.
You know, hey,
I do enjoy that.
Now, that's a good point, and that's a point that I've wondered about. They do that on purpose. They have to, because it's someone's natural inclination when you're leaving a room like that to leave through the left-hand door.
I would think it would be the natural inclination to leave through the right-hand door like it is every time you go through a door like that. But they all go through the left door.
But
you have to think that they're doing it purposely, because they all, all together, other door.
Do you think they might tell them, use the left-hand door when you're leaving?
No, because someone would say, hey, you told me to use the wrong door. No. I think they're anxious to get out of the room.
Right.
And
they all seem to go, especially when they get rejected, they go for the left-hand door.
Yeah.
And it's hysterical.
They could unlock that second door. They leave it locked on purpose.
Of course they do.
Just so they can say that, and the editing then comes in, because somebody they want to make look bad, they show them running into the door.
Oh, listen, stop somebody, it, Oz.
Now, you are so excited.
Stop it.
I've looked at it played back.
Stop
you're so excited, it sounds like you want to watch the show.
Notice, from now on, on that contestants that perform well...
How would you know, Buzz?
...leave through the door successfully,
How would
at least
you know,
according
friend?
To the editing.
How would you know?
That's what I'm saying. Because I've watched the show.
Do you think he's a closet viewer?
Yeah.
No, I watched one. But
no, you didn't.
You don't have to be a genius to figure it out, just by, you know, watching one.
You'll watch more than one.
No, I won't. I watched...
You have watched more than
for
one.
For me, it's not like potato chips. I had one. I'm full.
You really don't like it.
I really don't like it.
Is this, in general, a disdain for reality programming?
Generally, yes. Specifically, this one.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I think you watch it. I think you know a lot about it. I think that you walk by the TV and it's on, that you feign.
I would think if you like Letterman as much as he does, you'd like this.
You feign this, and Buzz,
that same sense of humor. I mean, it's really laughing at the misfortune of others.
Buzz, yeah, I went through a similar thing last year. I mean, I have no problem telling you. I watched the show every year. Last year, as everybody heard,
you had a theory. You were doing it in that being ahead of the curve thing. You had a hunch, did you not, that the show was going to tank? So you were hoping that you would be able to get
brilliant
credit.
Hunch.
Ahead of
a
the
brilliant
curve.
Hunch. Right. It's too bad you didn't take all of your daughter's savings account and put it on in Vegas on my theory that American Idol was going to burn out after
you three, really did
after year number five.
You did, and then you decided you'd come back once you realized that the ratings were as high as ever. Then you came back.
Yeah.
You came back to it. I know over the years...
At least I'm honest about
it. You sacrificed your personal taste for being on top of a trend before. You've actually attached yourself to movies you probably didn't really love, but because they were overwhelmingly successful, right. you've gotten on that bandwagon.
Oh, hey, did you get that free copy of The Departed in the mail?
No, I didn't. Was that for the Screen Actors Guild?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get a free copy. Cool. I might not have it. I'm usually a day behind you as far as getting that kind of stuff.
My poor girlfriend. She's so naive. You know, because she doesn't know. I mean...
Have you ever voted?
Have I ever voted, in a presidential election?
Have you ever voted for the SAG Awards, Screen Actors Guild Awards? Have you ever voted for... I don't do it regularly, but I did once.
I do. I vote for the people that I don't think should win. Because there's only one vote out of however many
right.
You know, people who really are in SAG. I mean, we are in the Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
We're like in there on a goof thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can put you down for Penelope Cruz?
Go ahead. So yesterday I got home from work, maybe the day before or whatever, going through the stack of mail is there. They said, to my gal pal. I said, the Screen Actors Guild. I open it up. She goes, what's that? I said, well, it appears to be an advanced DVD copy of The Departed, that little film we saw in the theater with Jack Nicholson. She said, wow, how'd you get that? I said, I'm in the guild. And she looked at me as if I really was something, and I couldn't keep the charade up. I said,
they all get it.
I said, no. Anyone that's had a line on a TV show is in is in a database that gets a copy of this DVD.
Right.
And I said, but still, not everybody has it.
That's right. It's true. It's
true.
Everybody
has it.
And I thank you again for that, because I would not be in that union if it wasn't for you.
You didn't speak.
Stealing a line on Babylon 5.
And every once in a while, I get something in the mail, like a card that says, you know, Screen Actors Guild invites you to go see whatever movie it is downtown. Go
screenings.
Go for free. Go.
You can show your SAG cards, allegedly, at any theater in the United States and walk into the movies for free.
And get a free haircut.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how that SAG thing would go if you really...
It would work.
It would work.
They have to.
If you go to a multiplex, really...
Guarantee it.
Yep. And lay down your SAG card...
Yep, they have to. It's part of their deal.
When you go out to see Click with Adam Sandler...
Are you kidding?
You could take your SAG card out, and I don't carry mine around, but you could take yours out, and you could... do you carry yours with you?
Yeah.
You should only use it to see really bad movies.
That's a good idea.
You know, we could do an experiment right now with Joe. He's not doing nothing. Right? Somebody get a newspaper.
Right.
And find a theater around here that has a showing.
Uh-huh.
And we'll send Joe out with his cell phone. And here you go. Screen Actors Guild member.
They're going to ask for ID.
Let me see that.
They're going to ask for further ID, though, I think.
But it's got my DJ name on it.
I know, but they're going to want to see a driver's license, I'm sure.
I don't think so, Buzz.
Man.
Because my driver's license doesn't say Don Geronimo on it.
No, that's true.
I don't have that.
Not anymore.
I never got one
this. Oh, so mine are like paper.
I get a new one every 6 months. Right. Do you pay your dues?
Yeah, I pay my dues. I got to check into that.
You don't get a fancy plastic
one? No, I don't get a fancy card. I got to update, make sure that I'm up to date and all that crap.
Fancy plastic one.
That's really neat. I like that. I'd carry it around if I had that.
Expires April 30th, 2006. Member since 2000.
Mm-hmm. 6 years.
Expires when?
I don't know.
April 30th, 2006.
Oops.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll renew.
All right, hold on a second.
You obviously have another one in there.
Hold on.
What are the
no.
I do not mind.
All right. Scratch that idea.
Okay. Idea over. Scratch that.
Oh, yeah. Cancel that.
Okay.
All they have to do. Yeah, hey, but you know what? It might be a good. You know what would be a good experiment if they don't pay attention to the date? If they just see the Screen Actors Guild.
Why don't we just wait? I'll see if I got one at home, or okay. You see if you've got one at home that has the right date on it.
I've gotten the, I get my after SAG card, but, you know, it's like, I got to check and see if I get that thing. I like that.
Because if you get the movies, I'd go. I mean, trust me, I'd go for free.
Sure.
You know me, if it's free, it's me.
You know what? I think you can flash that and get in. That's the way I understand. That's the benefit of being in the union.
I'm still heartbroken that I got that haircuttery card and then lost it and can't get another one.
I know. I understand.
I get my free $9 haircuts.
I know.
Seriously, hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, Buzz, I think you're right about the American Idol door thing.
Well, we're in the minority, sir.
Well, I noticed last night that they actually had it wedged shut with wooden wedges.
I think they think it's hilarious, and in a way it is. So when you saw Ryan Seacrest outside, you could see that they had the door wedged shut?
They had two wedges and one of those rubber wedges.
They love that gag.
somebody told Ryan Seacrest as well that it's funnier when he doesn't say anything to the people.
Oh, he's getting so good at that. And he did it at the very end with the tragic little girl.
The last guy?
With the girl with the dog teeth that was so upset.
Oh, you're right with her mama coming out there.
Oh, it was so pathetic. And a different girl came outside a moment later and she was just so heartbroken.
It was great. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing very well, thanks.
I'm using my SAG card tonight to go see Blood and Chocolate.
That's the finger guy, isn't it?
No, I'm not the finger guy. The end, 107.9, the end is putting the show on.
Blood, is this like a funny caller from Sacramento?
Seriously, hello, Donovan.
There he goes, listening to himself on the radio. That's a guy making a joke about that the Sacramento thing. And as we all learned from DJ Mancow yesterday, there's nothing to laugh about in radio anymore.
Blood and Chocolate. I'm not sure I got that joke.
New vampire movie coming out. I'm not sure I would have gone that way comedically.
I think it has something to do with the lady who died, right?
Yeah,
is that what he was talking about?
The lame connection he was trying to.
Is there really a movie called that?
Yeah.
Blood and Chocolate?
Should be good.
Who stars in it?
I don't remember, but the book is highly acclaimed.
I know what it's about.
Is it dirty?
No.
Vampire, so maybe.
It's about
you.
It's about Rob's butt.
It's about his ulcerative colitis.
It's about colitis. Blood and chocolate.
Ah, yes. One leads to the other.
See the sequel. Pile of blood.
Wow. Hello there, Donaldo E. Miguel. Hello.
Hey, what's happening, Donald?
Hey, nothing. What's up?
Hey, I think the reason that they locked that door like that is set up the shot outside of the room. Usually the family's standing there. They don't want to whack them with the door.
Come on now. You really think they put that much thought into the welfare of the families?
Maybe after the first one got whacked. I don't know.
Locks.
All right, thank you.
Hey, does Seacrest not say Seacrest out anymore? Is he too cool for that now or what?
Dude, that's so Dunkelman. Please get out of here
He's
with that.
He's grown since then.
Get out of there. Buzz?
All right.
Without, I hate giving Ryan Seacrest credit.
Yeah.
He is much better on that show.
And I believe the reason you and I both like him this year is because of that silence. You know, he made me laugh when he was dancing with the people out in the, you know, in the group when he was just had that. He's taken it to, you know what he's done? He's dialed it down a notch where he's not show friendly, and he's got that kind of monotone look on his face, and he's dancing with them and just being like, I'm cool. And he's making me laugh this year. He really is making me. He also called, you know, when he said that to Simon, well, I guess somebody's a bitch today.
And what did Simon Cowell say last night that I thought was very true? He says lots of true stuff on that show. He was saying to someone, hey, the showbiz is you kick them when they're down. You're never going to get a
When the best friends auditioned and they both got through, and the second girl who was untrained was told that she has a better voice, and she said, oh, I do think she's got a better voice, and that's when he said to her, you should learn to kick them when they're down.
And then what he said after that, which was kind of off mic, was, and it was true, he said, it's the way I am with Ryan. I like him a lot. And that was something that he said that was kind of muffled off mic. And what he was saying, you know, is, you know.
Well, it's true, and it's funny. They both go after each other when they screw up, and they go after each other. You know that Ryan Seacrest and Simon both like each other, but when they screw up on that show, that's
very
similar. It's very similar to the way we do this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we like each other a lot. However, if anybody on this show makes a mistake, we all attack. It's right. It's the real way show business is supposed to work.
Right, Monster Garage. I was my American Chopper. That's the show, the Tuttles.
With the Tuttles, the Toitles.
The Tuttles. Mm-hmm. The Tuttles will be on today. American, let me just write that down.
American Chopper.
American.
And Orange Chopper. County is just over the Jersey line.
Ah. Gotcha.
Or 45 minutes over the Jersey. I don't know where Orange County is.
And late in the show, we talked about this a moment ago, there's this DJ who used to work in Chicago now, is syndicated to, actually, our syndication list is better than his.
Really?
Yeah, okay. So that's really how awful he's doing.
Okay.
This guy, Man Cow, kind of a famous shock jock.
Mm-hmm.
And people, eat testicles on his show and stop traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge one time in San Francisco. And, was as bad as any of us.
A big loudmouth DJ, like all of us.
Doing the same shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's happened is his shtick ran out. He got canceled in Chicago, and he changed his show to become political. All right, Rush Limbaugh did that. That's okay. And he puts out this press release yesterday. We talked about this. This was on the internet. Today we actually got a copy of it. This DJ Mancow is creating the Foundation for Responsible Radio.
Oh, God.
And he wants DJs to stop doing stunts.
You know, talk about taking advantage of the situation.
I think this will work.
You think it'll fly.
Dude. This is bad, Man Cow. Don't forget where you came from.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't mind anybody else calling for this. You can't. You're not allowed. You have to pin the hypocrite button on your shirt.
You're one of the bad guys.
Right. You are one of the guys. And really, somebody should do this. Somebody should compile a list, if it's possible, to go through his history. Because it can't just be the Golden Gate Bridge. I bet you could find a 10-page list of crap that guy's done. And if you read that, you realize what a hypocrite this guy is.
The guy's just trying to reinvent himself and thinks that the woman that died in Sacramento with that radio station stunt is the way to reinvent his career.
He's getting publicity.
My God. I mean, he's getting publicity, but inside the radio industry?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a freaking a chicken, yellow-stained, coward, pussy. You know, I mean, if you don't agree with
it's a hypocrite in the purest sense of the word.
If you don't agree with what happened in Sacramento, no one wishes that woman dead.
No, but what you said, somebody asked me about that specifically today. And I said, I thank God that it wasn't us and that we weren't involved with that. And I really think it, you know, we're idiots. We're disc jockeys. We're under pressure to put on these kind of shows every single day. It's really up to the chain of command to make sure crap like that doesn't happen. We've had many things that we've thrown up against the wall that they tell us we can't do. And that's the way it should have worked in this. But don't come out and go, hey, I feel that I'm better.
Man Cow announced he's creating the Foundation for Responsible Radio in response to the water intoxication death of Jennifer Strange, blah, 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 blah.
What does he want, DJs to join it?
Yes. Small markets feel the need to do this to get ratings.
He's assuming the DJs can read.
And this is wrong. Our industry and stupidity did this. Man Cow promised further information to be available soon.
Is he shooting himself in his foot in the foot by doing this career-wise, or is this...
Well, no, as Don said, he's already made the switch.
He's already the bottom.
He's made the switch to a different style of radio.
There's no
heat on him for that.
The career already has tanked out for this guy. Actually, it's a pretty incredible story. You know, Buzz, I love Chicago radio. Worked here for a long time, as you did. Tough nut to crack, Chicago is. If you get a modicum of success in Chicago, you should keep it. And this guy had a lot of success. And
he was the it guy for a while.
And when Howard left, my God, his last book was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted money or something. The station that had him said, guess what, you can go work anywhere else. Nobody else in Chicago hired him.
That's truly, I mean, at the time, because when you said this to me, when this guy, the first time I had heard of this guy recently was when he was on one of the Entertainment Tonight shows and came on and was talking about this stunt out in Sacramento. And then when you came in, because you're much more up on it as far as inside radio, and you told me that he was, you know, that his career had flattened out, that he'd gotten fired, I had no idea. I thought he was still...
Couldn't get
every
get,
bit the main guy, and I thought he was still a comedy guy.
No, and I guess at one point he stopped doing that, tried to be like Imus, you know, and then Rush Limbaugh.
He used the FCC thing also as an excuse to change his act a little bit. He said it was going to be a tough environment to continue that in, so that is why he said.
Well, I remember when he said that, too, and I remember when he was interviewed about that, and I agreed with him at that point.
Hey, we all had to change for a while what we do, and we've all had to adapt what we do, even now with the... You know, semi-relaxed standards that we're operating under, but
and when I said to somebody about this lady dying out there, we're not going to have to join any foundation to have things change. It's going to be the will of the industry, because the industry, but for one reason, dollars, is going to come down on people doing this kind of. There'll be more scrutiny over these things.
The one thing that the last thing I'll leave about this man cow thing is, I was talking to a guy today who works at Sirius Satellite, who told me for a fact, this is like an urban legend, but told me for a fact that when this guy was briefly on in New York like 4 or 5 years ago,
okay,
he sent bags of excrement to Howard Stern's house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's a
right.
crime, I think.
So,
yeah. That's responsible.
So a guy who sends, one DJ who sends another DJ bags of excrement, uh-huh, and then stands up and says, hey, I did that. I sent that to your house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think that he should be the guy standing up saying that radio should stop our dangerous, voyeuristic radio stunts just because you happened to have run out of gas.
Right.
I got news for you, man, Cal. Mike and I have run out of gas, but we're not doing the political thing.
Uh-huh. Right.
We're not asking other people to stop doing what they're doing.
No, I mean, I think you articulated it the other day when you were talking about the whole chain of command. What, did 10 people end up losing their jobs over this thing? And it was 10 people that were right at the bottom, right at the actual show level.
Front line.
When this thing should have been, you know, you should have a GM and a program director. That's what they're paid for. They're supposed to supervise
us kids. Right. Start a foundation for good radio.
Right. Are we going to sign up for that?
Try doing good radio. I don't care what kind it is. Just try doing radio people like. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, I used to listen to Man Cow, and he has no room to even talk at all because he had that guy named Turd on his show, and he would do stupid stunts like driving his car into water and doing all kinds of stupid stuff.
Where he could have easily been killed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Of course. I mean, it's just hypocritical. You know, somebody starting that, it's coming from the wrong guy.
And it's desperate, man. The guy's desperate to get some pub, and like I said, he's been on TV. He's getting all this pub now for starting this thing.
And, you know, I bet it's just his, I bet there's a methodology to it. I bet it's just calculated as it comes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, and I think that calculation is, you said that his affiliates list was the worst one on the planet. This is an attempt to get people to say, hey, we want Man Cow.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Absolutely, but I'm telling you, even the radio business, as we've documented over the last couple of days, as stupid as it is,
mm-hmm,
no one's going to see this in the radio business and go, hey, this is the guy we got to have on our station in the morning.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what he's trying to do. And I think really hearing this caller say it, that is so true. He's saying, hey, you know, I'm gonna go this route. This will pick me up some more affiliates.
This is my chance. This is a national story. This is. Can you see the meeting? Okay, guys. Okay, we're gonna go all the way with it. I'm losing everything now. I know we're going political, but this woman dying is the best thing that could have ever happened to the Man Cow Show, because now we are going to stand up. I want you to get the PR department on the phone now. Now I want to start a group of disc jockeys together,
and I'll spearhead it, and that'll get me the affiliates that I need. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
I tell you what,
sure.
Mike and I will agree to this. We will sign up for this. We'll meet you in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge.
You have to stop traffic in both directions
during rush hour.
Right.
How about that?
How about that,
you big turd?
He is a turd.
Jesus Christ.
That's a shame.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I thought he was a decent radio guy, like all of us, just doing the same shock jock shtick.
I say the same thing that guy in the movie Wall Street that walks into Charlie Sheen's office and he yells at him, and he walks out and goes, man, that's really a shame. When he calls him an a-hole.
Hello?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I really agree with you guys. You guys ran out of talent a long time ago, but I've been listening for years now.
Ran out of talent or ran out of gas? See, I think the talent will always be there, sir. Running out of gas and running out of talent, the talent is what's kept us going.
The great thing is he ran out of taste at about the same time.
So your barb comes at us and it is deflected by our shields for, I guess you don't understand by us saying... By me saying on our behalf that we ran out of gas a long time ago, I guess you don't know that in my physical world, we are, of course, on full.
Better than ever.
Yes. It's always on full.
Of course.
I'm simply attempting to poke fun at ourselves and our fabulous empire that we have here. This empire that at least Man Cow would be jealous of.
Mm-hmm. You see, sir, the talent is like nuclear energy. The talent is infinite.
It cannot be created.
And it
or
is
destroyed.
Self-perpetuating, you see.
You
are not allowed to comment on our fusion.
Dare I say it, that we are genii. when it comes to this medium of speaking to you through a wireless communication device. Our ability to paint pictures, to take the mundane and make them listenable, and for you, a humble
servant.
Thank you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
A wiper at best.
Exactly.
To call and say, yes, you ran out of gas. Well, I got news for you, friend. The yoke is on you.
You are not allowed to fiddle in our Rome. Do you understand?
No, I completely understand. I'm not saying I ever...
Do you, Nero?
Orgasm.
What? Did I hear orgasm?
Make a joke.
What was that? And we're just trying to make a joke with you as well, friend.
Yes, sir.
I understand.
All right.
Okay, buddy.
Is there anything else you'd like to add since we've been talking the whole time?
No, I will eject.
All right.
I wish people would stop saying that.
Ween.
Could you guys come up with something new rather than I will eject?
Something new, please. I'd like to really eject. Like out of a cockpit of a F-15.
How about just the quote yesterday's show? How about just, I suck ass. And then leave.
I like that.
Because remember that thing? It was USA means
right.
You suck ass.
Yeah. Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, that idiot used to be a DJ out here in the Bay Area in San Francisco, and
right.
he actually stopped on the Bay Bridge that leads into the city and got his hair cut and caused accidents and everything.
What? All right. Yeah. Thank you. We had not heard that.
Is there any way you could give us our first ISA?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, I want to audition for American Idol. But they say I'm not old enough.
Okay. Another one I want to hear an ISA from.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I was calling to see if you guys happened to catch Dick Cheney on the Wolf Blitzer show yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, you know what you call that, Mike? You call it a visa. It would be a voluntary I suck ass.
We need a visa.
We need a visa from you.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do have the tape of Cheney and Wolf Blitzer. Hold on a second.
We're out of time, but a couple issues I want to raise with you. Your daughter, Mary, she's pregnant. All of us are happy she's going to have a baby.
Now, what you want to hear and listen for here is the awkward Wolf Blitzer pause.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I have another grandchild. Some of the, some critics, though, are suggesting, for example, a statement from someone representing Focus on the Family. Mary Cheney's pregnancy raises the question of what's best for children. Just because it's possible to conceive a child outside of the relationship of a married mother and father doesn't mean it's best for the child. You want to respond to that?
No, I don't.
She's obviously a good daughter.
I'm delighted. I'm about to have a sixth grandchild, Wolf. Obviously think the world of both my daughters and all of my grandchildren. And
Dr. Evil.
Frankly, you're out of line with that question.
I think all of us
I think you're
your daughter. No, we like your daughters. Believe me, I'm very, very sympathetic to Liz and to Mary. I like them both. That was just a question that's come up, and it's a responsible, fair question.
I just fundamentally disagree with your
opinion. I want to congratulate you on having another grandchild.
Good.
I was thinking that I have a feeling she may be a lesbian.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's a great awkward Wolf Blitzer tape, isn't it?
And is there any surprise that when Dick Cheney is saying, I'm very happy to have another grandchild, I'm going to tear your throat out?
And at one point, there's like 5 seconds of just uncomfortable
blaring.
Yeah, just staring at each other. He's giving him those beady, evil mm-hmm. death eyes.
And is it recent? I mean, I was all over YouTube trying to find more about that. Did his husband, Lynn Cheney, did he come out and say something on the morning shows at all today?
I'm not aware, did he?
I haven't heard that. Well, maybe it was a previous appearance where I saw him, Lynn Cheney, on one of the other shows.
Yeah.
She's a pit bull, too. She's a pit viper.
What's Lynn Cheney?
Who he?
Come on, I'm talking about Lynn Cheney.
Lynn Cheney.
Shut your mouth.
This is Isaac Hayes.
Yeah.
Don and Mike, shut your mouth.
All right. Hey, are you still there on the phone?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to say how much I loved Wolf Blitzer's reaction. He just totally pussified there and bowed down to...
I don't think he pussified. So.
No. Actually, if you watch the video on YouTube, they do stare each other down. It's just a great, awkward moment. And actually, Wolf Blitzer does not back down from
that. Not at all. No.
He says, I think it's a legitimate question.
Yes.
It's just a great, awkward moment.
And he pauses. And, you know, maybe it's the year of the pause, because Ryan Seacrest, Wolf Blitzer, they're all using the pause, and if you pause long enough, the other person who's on camera has to, and really, your technical director can help you, too, because if you pause long enough, the other guy's got to say something. I love it. It's fantastic. And quite often the last person to speak is the person that should continue to speak. Because if the last person, if the last person speaking doesn't speak, then it seems like the silence is a result of what he would say. Wouldn't you agree with that, Buzz?
I would.
You can't play Pong with Buzz. You know that. You can't play Pong with him, Mike. So you've set me up into a bit. It's okay. I'll roll with it. I know what you're doing. I'm hip to your game, friend.
I know. I just think the pause is fun. It's wonderful. It's enjoyable. It's very proud of my granddaughter. And I just think the question's out of line.
I'm fond of both of your daughters. I
could bring up the fact, Wolf, that you have a toupee and that I could rip it off your bald, stinking head right now, and the world would see it. That would be out of line, also.
I could play. You have a gigantic appears to be a pulsating snake coming out of the top of your forehead, Mr. Cheney. And what is that, sir?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Wolf. That my heart is now currently the size of the Times Square ball. Oh, that's how large it is. It's so enlarged right now. But I'm very proud of my daughters. And
did you see the video, Buzz?
I did, yes.
He really looks...
I blew it.
I'm sorry.
You just ruined it for me.
I know.
You just ruined it.
I did not see the whole video. Did they have the whole thing?
Yes. Entire segment, yes.
CNN is like 20 minutes.
See, we left it with Rob.
I know.
We left it with Rob.
Everybody's learned. I'd like to know I'm the only one that played that game poorly, and I did it for the good of the show.
What, Buzz?
Now everybody knows that game.
I thought I'd pause beforehand.
Does laughing count?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then screw it.
It does.
Fellas, listen. We got a break. When we come back, I ask you, Mike, and you, Buzz, really to choose among you. Which of the stories bears more comedic value? Mike, I know you had your virtual physical today. Now, unless you're dying or you have some really great medical stuff, is your stuff as good as Buzz taking mushrooms and playing poker? We can get to both of them, but one of them will be our topic when we come back from our break.
Well, I haven't given you, Don, the results of my virtual physical, and I've purposely not shared any of the results that I had from my medical procedure that I had not 3.5 hours ago.
How do you feel about your stuff, Buzz?
I think it's strong.
Well, I'm big to this. I'm sorry, I disagree.
Just trying to leave it with him again.
I'm sorry. You're going to talk about your...
Well, see, now he won't, because now he knows.
He won't do it with me. Poker and mushrooms, yes. And the effect the one had on the other.
Why do you feel the need to point at him like you're on? I think he understands that the pressure's on him right now.
There's no pressure. I was pausing again.
I ain't saying nothing.
Why doesn't somebody put a petition out about the beginning of this show every day?
This is irresponsible.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, the big stage is set. It's going to be the Bears and it's going to be the Colts. And I think you predicted the Bears and the Colts. Am I right about that, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, last time I was here, I said, hey, the Bears are going to play the Colts for right. Battle of Gary, Indiana. And, you know,
yeah.
And I thought, that's what I do.
Right.
I soothsay, or I look into the future, soothsaying.
Yeah, yeah.
And I take a look and I said, hey, that's why I eat, I drink, I sleep football. I mean, sleeping football, that's pretty good. Eating, that's the same. Drinking football. Unless you got a football mug, I mean, you got a mug that looks like a football, you got a little thing on the side, and then boom, you bring it back. Hey, I'm drinking football, man.
Now,
them squeeze your bag. Don and Mike.
Right.
When I was a little girl.
That was our man Frank Caliendo last night with David Letterman.
As John Madden.
Hey, you know something?
What's that?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Robbie was telling me that they didn't even give him credit as Frank Caliendo, that up front of the show, they said, and tonight John Madden, and then he came out and he did the bit, and Rob said at the very end, let him in, said, and thanks to John Madden.
So that's either very good or very bad. Very good in that Frank Caliendo will probably be on that show for a very long time.
Yep.
Very bad that he's not going to get a real credit on that show.
How many times has he been on Letterman?
He's Johnny Dark is what he is now.
He's done that bit maybe, what, 5 times now on Letterman?
And appeared at least twice strictly as John Madden. I like the part where he said one of the teams, will win the game. That was fantastic.
That's what I do. Who is this? Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, I was wondering if, Mike, do you brush your tongue when you brush your teeth?
I do.
You do?
Every day.
So, is it helpful in the loving area?
Are we getting back to Mike's fixation with the butt again?
Well, in not necessarily the nether region, but
this man
down
is more
there.
Obsessed with the butt than anybody on this show, because I believe he's carried it through an entire show yesterday where we really didn't discuss it, and into this show. This was a Tuesday discussion that we had.
Thinking too much about
that. You are truly obsessed with the butt. What does my tongue have to do with it?
Do you brush your teeth? Do you brush your tongue before you...
brush my teeth?
No, do you brush your tongue...
before that act.
Before you do something...
Well, technically, yes, because I would brush my teeth. I brush my teeth in the morning. I do not brush them in the evening like everybody else. So technically, if there's activity in the evening, then I do brush my tongue before that. But I don't, I'm not doing that all the time. I brush after.
Good for you, Buzz. Good for you. Call the next time we're having one of our butt discussions, okay?
You really hung me out to dry with that butt thing. You know that? You really, really did.
I couldn't help it.
See you later.
I gargle with salt water.
You don't brush your teeth at night?
No.
Why?
I rinse.
Why?
Why?
I'm sleepy. I don't do it either. Because I'm sleepy. I
never brush my teeth at night.
God damn.
Yeah. It's when I get up in the morning.
I do it when I get up in the morning. Because, I mean, even if you brush your teeth. Once in a blue moon, I will brush my teeth at night, but very rarely.
Oh,
please.
I know why.
Why?
We're all too drunk.
Yeah, if I'm loaded, I'm not going to. But, I mean, even at night, I don't. So this morning, man, I had a good, like, 9 hour sleep.
Yeah.
An amazing sleep.
Wow.
And I was on the computer, and Carla came, she comes back, her office is very close to where we live.
Yeah.
She'll pop in occasionally, and I'm in just out of bed on the computer, and she popped in from the office, and she was sitting, like, on the chair, my office chair, next to me, and she said, what is that smell? And she said, is that your mouth? And I said, it couldn't be anything else.
Wow.
I didn't fart, and that's when I decided I should tend to the mouth.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry.
Huh?
That's just wrong. You have to brush your teeth at night.
Really?
Didn't your mamas ever tell you that?
Yeah,
you should. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Dentists would tell you you're supposed to brush at night, but I never brush it.
God, I compulsively brush my teeth. At least I'm not one of those creeps that brings my toothbrush to work. And I don't mind some people who do it. I've seen Joe do it occasionally. And Joe keeps it, like, on the down low.
Right.
But do you remember that guy?
Dave Howard.
Yes. Yeah, Dave Howard. He used to always... And you know what? There's nothing more gross. I'm sorry. I know he's being... But you don't brush your teeth in the office lavatory.
No.
It just grosses me out.
There was a sales guy that would go in the John, take off his suit coat, make the move where he puts his tie around.
There were a couple of them, weren't there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Put their ties around their neck and stand there like seagulls on a line.
Right.
Just up, down, up, down. Spit, up, down, up, down.
We got rid of those guys.
Rinse.
I have, although I brush once a day, I have a very meticulous way of doing it. I rinse once with plaques, then I floss all of my teeth, then I rinse again with plaques, then I brush my teeth for 2.5 minutes because my toothbrush, my electric toothbrush has a timer
that
has a smiley face.
But it should be
and then at the conclusion of that 2.5 minutes, I rinse with a whitening rinse.
My regimen is also complicated like that. And, of course, you floss, too, right?
And then I put an ice pack on, so if my eyes are puffy, I actually put a mask on.
You only brush
while
your
I'm
teeth
doing my,
once a day?
While I'm doing my crunches to set up the rest of my routine.
But twice as hard, Don.
I use the whitening rinse in my kids' baths.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
Jesus.
Thank you, Greg.
You can never be too white, right, Ron?
That's right. Funny.
Thank you, Rob.
Rob actually... Hopefully, only for a minute, though, right? Only for 60 seconds.
That's
a very
right.
60-second bath, just trying to get his kids whiter.
Well, if you go albino, then you're different.
Very.
God. All right, so now that we know that you don't brush your teeth, but once a day.
Yeah, I only brush once a day, really.
You went to your virtual physical.
I did.
Now,
only realized that it would be good for the show when he was giving me my results.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's hear him now. This is a sponsor. And it's like a CAT scan thing, right?
To get it is a CAT
virtual
scan.
Physical.
It's not like it is a CAT scan.
You
go
to
tube or
and
all of your organs. You caught me by surprise the other day when I had kind of agreed to go and do this thing and be a spokesman for them without a tremendous amount of research. And I'd like to tell all prospective advertisers on WJFK that if you'd like, you know, if you're really not secure with your business and you're looking for, you know, for a spokesperson. I don't do a tremendous amount of research. I just kind of look at it on the surface and agree to it, which I did. So, thusly, when you asked me, what is this thing? And I said the other day, I really don't know.
No, no.
I didn't know even when I walked into the office today. So I walk in and I'm here to say, I'm glad I signed up because the whole thing, you know, I had no idea whether I did the whole thing this morning when I was getting ready, the whole pre-physical routine where you really spend time on your ears and you blow your nose and you make sure your butt's nice and clean and you just make sure everything's sparkling clean because you don't know whether you're going to be poked or prodded,
right.
And I'm not poked or prodded. This thing was totally non-invasive, and that's what it is. And
without doing the commercial, because you are doing a commercial for them,
I am,
right?
I am. I'll be doing a commercial, I think. That's what they tell
me. What were your results?
Well, I was nervous because it was, the main thing that they check, and on my thing today, the main thing they were going to check were brain, heart,
okay,
spine,
okay,
and my organs.
Including your liver?
Including my liver. And
I'm listening.
I am here with the results.
Now I'm listening. You have my rapt attention.
Everyone on this show knows that most of the medical testing that we've done over 20 years on this show, I'm normally bringing up the rear. I'm normally coming in behind. I'm normally not the healthiest guy on the show. I'm here to tell you I got a pretty amazing bill of health from this virtual physical today, including some things that, there is some bad. Let's not get crazy.
Okay.
There is some bad, but it's not significant bad, in my opinion. It's actually pretty damn good, and I'm goddamn proud of it. I really am, especially the number one thing, because they start at the top of your head, and they went over your brain. And guess what the deal is with my brain?
Do you have water on the brain?
No, I don't.
Does your brain hurt?
The brain doesn't hurt. I don't have water on the brain. He went around the outside. He said, you see, it fills out all the way. There's no shrinkage, which I didn't know the brain can actually shrink with age. But
it's cold.
Here's what he said, and this is a quote. This is when I asked for a pen and paper. This is when I started to want to write things down.
Okay.
My brain?
Yeah.
Younger than average.
Hey!
Wow. Huh?
Don't look at me like that.
I know. Younger than average.
Some carny took your picture.
No, it's not a carny. He's a medical doctor. He was a real doctor, Dr. Nobi. Then he got to my septum. Now, that is not, that I've known for a long time. Every doctor that's ever looked at x-rays of my head, the first thing they say is, what happened to your nose?
Do you ever think that maybe your brain
You can hear the way I talk, really. If you really listen closely to the way I talk on the air, you can hear the little closure. I try to keep it open, but
you.
If I take one nostril and I close it, this is the way I sound. Because this right side is completely shut down. So what he said was, I have a significantly deviated septum.
Deviant.
And it wasn't through any drug use.
Cokehead.
Like, but it was, the question came up. He said, were you ever injured in a sporting event? I said several times. Now, I count bar fights as sporting events as well. I mean, it's perfectly legitimate. That's sport. Your dukes are up and stuff like that. All right, you ready to go to the windpipe?
Okay, here we go. Your windpipe.
My windpipe.
Okay.
He shows me, and they take you in. You get the scan, and then they take you in, and they show you all the results, and he can scan around and make it. They can make it move. They can pan in, pan out. They can go up and down. He said, you see this? He says, your windpipe is a little small. Now, I'm like, small? Because he said, do you snore a lot at night? I said, yeah, I do. I said, I snore more when I'm heavier, less than. He said, well, your windpipe is a little bit small. And I'm like, well, I didn't know whether I was born with that or what. He said, no, it just constricts. He said, that's due to the fat in your neck. So he said, I might, obviously, the weight loss would enable me to, open up my airway.
Huh.
But that may be the only bad news that I got throughout the entire, except for the kidney.
Ah, well, then what's
except
the fun
for the
in
kidneys.
This?
Carotid arteries.
Mm-hmm.
This is a quote. I am quoting the doctor because I wrote it down.
Yeah.
Carotid arteries, clean as a whistle.
Hey, that's great.
Clear.
Lungs, good. And I told him the truth about smoking, too.
Good for you.
He said my lungs were good. And then he showed me lungs that weren't. And if anybody needs like a little motivation to quit smoking cigarettes, you just take a look at this way. Because he showed me one guy. He said, now this guy had a little mass here, and unfortunately, he didn't make it.
Oh, dear.
So that kind of that motivates you to you know, stay healthy. And and then here's another quote. Heart, great. Great heart. I'm saying great.
Great
that was
large.
You might notice I have a little extra spring in my step today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You ready with your timpani?
Oh, okay, here we go.
Now the liver.
Right. This is what we want to hear about.
My liver.
Tell us.
Quote from the doctor.
Don't tell me it's a lovely teenage liver.
Nice and healthy.
Wow.
You know what? You know, it's disturbing me, your real disappointment here. I'm real sorry that I didn't have the big casino.
If I was you, I'd go to get a second opinion.
Oh, I do have one piece of good news for my spine.
And I don't want you to have the big casino.
Oh, my spine?
Yeah, I just want you to have a bad liver.
What about your spine?
My spine, a little curvature, which made me feel a little deformed. But that was it. The thing that the two things that I loved, liver nice and healthy, carotid arteries clean as a whistle, and brain younger than average. And
you think maybe that's because you don't use it very much?
It's because I have such a young outlook on life.
Wasn't it just yesterday you were coming in and screaming that you'd been on a website that said you're actually 55?
Yes. Felt old. Yeah. But he also told me.
And did you also say that you're feeling so old that you're sure at some point your girlfriend's going to be banging the gardener and you're going to be okay
with
it?
Well, that's reality. That's the reality of life. That's not the health that I'm in right now. I am in good health, according to this. He said that, you know, he showed me the heart and it scans you for calcium. You know, the hardening of the arteries or the calcium deposits.
I call this segment Mike Beats the Odds.
I did beat the odds. He tells me.
What's the fun in this?
Score, plaque burden, zero. Very low. Generally less than 5%. Uh-huh. Probability of significant coronary artery disease for me, plaque burden, none.
Wow.
And my probability of heart disease, very low.
Well, have some
generally less than 5%.
Well, then have some chips, my man.
I eat
have
chips,
some
but
wings.
You know what? And you know, it also tells me the way I eat most of the time is I eat pretty well, except for the select chips that I ate yesterday.
Now, do you feel free to go a little crazy now that you've gotten good news?
No, I have never been more anti. I really have never been more scared about the idea of smoking because when we've been puffing pretty good out there, but I still have to
just write down this date.
I have to exercise. That's what he tells me that I have to exercise. You exercise every day, so you and Buzz, yes. you go ahead and get one. They said that they let you have one too.
That's wonderful. I like
and Don, if you'd like to, or you or your lady would like to, they'd love to have you over there. And I recommend it. It's the only thing I did.
Did you win a prize at the end of this carnival?
I didn't win any prize, but I've got my CD.
Did you just stuffed animal or anything?
Gave me a CD so I can put it in it, and you can scan in and out and like really look at all your films when you get home.
Cool.
And then they're sending it to the good doctor, my good doctor, who
excellent.
You know. You know, that same guy. We go to that guy. And I'm very happy about it. I was very, very, I kind of walked out with an extra spring in my step. And
I'm happy, too. it's a commercial for the place, and you're in great health.
But
so,
but you know what the fact is?
Hooray!
I would have had to come in here. The thing that scared me is that I would have had to come in here and tell you if they found anything.
Right.
And he said I have to exercise, never smoke, mm-hmm. and you know, do the standard stuff that you do for the. And I know the naysayers are going to be, you know, people say that can't show you everything, and I know they can't show you everything, but it's a very, I forgot how they put it. They say that they can find stuff out.
Naive.
They see things the doctor can't.
But not naive.
Wouldn't usually see.
Wait. Hold on.
It's a very sideshow way of telling
there was something
you're doing
they said
okay.
in that thing that it's sideshow. It's a cat scan.
Other clowns.
Sideshow. Far more detailed, precise than an X-ray.
Okay, well, this is like a commercial for them now.
But
so.
I'm really, I mean, I'm maybe if I was not feeling healthy, I wouldn't be this excited.
Yeah, sure.
I like the good news.
You think maybe with all DJs, they fake it and tell them good news, you know, just so they'll talk nicely about them?
Didn't you tell me that guy at WMAL had a heart attack after he went there?
Yeah, after he was told that he had a 60% blockage.
Ah.
And he got that from his virtual physical.
So I got a heads up.
So it was, and the guy was really cool. The guy was very, very nice, and I'm very happy. Liver, nice and healthy. Brain, younger than average. Carotid arteries, clean as a whistle.
You sure those?
Man, I'm just seriously. I'm going to drink like a bottle of whiskey and have some pound cake tonight.
See,
okay.
There you go.
Now look. The eating. I don't see any plaque in my arteries.
We have to break. I just wanted to pin you down on one thing. Well, you give me that you're so proud of yourself smile.
I am, and I lost the sheet. Unfortunately, I lost the sheet where it tells me what I have to do.
Is today the day that are you quitting smoking now?
I quit smoking 2 days ago. I haven't had a cigarette in 3 days.
You wrote it down, John?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. They know as far as that. That would be my, these would be my kidneys. Those are my kidneys.
They're sexy. They're goddamn sexy.
Septum. I got a picture of my septum right here. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry.
You know what this is like now?
Mm-hmm.
It's like being at someone's house. And
showing baby pictures.
Yeah.
Like to see the ticker? There it is.
This is us.
That's all I got.
Can I have it for a second?
Yeah. What are you going to do to it? What are you going to do?
You're not going
to
break it.
Why are you going to hurt me when I'm... Well, go ahead. Do something horrible. Write Yaz as a fag on there.
Yeah.
What?
Is it your heart?
Yeah.
Don's making a notation with a red Sharpie.
There you go. Now, you show me this. I'm laughing if you get me your test result.
Too. He wrote on it, broken.
Oh,
my broken heart.
That's so nice.
All right, Mike will live forever. Hooray.
Oh, boy.
We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
None of us.
Did we find that website?
The website is down.
Okay. Hi, Arnold.
This is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with another California report. When I came into office, I made a promise to the people that I will make government spend more money than we have
and
raise property taxes.
Uh-huh.
It isn't enough spending unless it is overspending. I want to thank all of you for everything that you have done to bring California bankruptcy.
Everything.
Now it's the time for the legislators to do what is best for California.
Best. Right.
Rack up billions of dollars in new debt. Thank you for listening.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi, this is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with another California report.
Hi, Arnold.
This week, I want to talk to you about sex crimes, but I am a convicted sex offender. I joined with sexual predators, teaching them to lure children into sex crimes. I'm tipping the scale of justice in favor of the violators,
sure are.
Not the victims, period. Thank you very much for listening.
I'll be the best sex you will ever have.
Number one show in Iraq, Tomato, the Don and Mike program.
All right. All right. Thank you, Dude Walker. Thank you, Arnold. The website that we were going to go to is not there.
No. That blew up or something?
Not sure. We'll try to pick it up later.
Is it under construction?
Let me see. Right now, to a random caller. We have season 5 of 24 on DVD. Don't forget to 24 Monday night. Oh, all right, forgot about that. Random caller. Don't forget to 24 Monday night at 9. 8 Central on Fox. We're in season 5 of 24 on DVD right now. To a random caller.
Very good.
Oh, nice.
Take anybody.
We're
really
good.
Take anybody. Not necessarily this guy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Don and Mike.
Yeah, howdy. You're on the air.
Wasn't trying to get on the air. I'm just up in Seattle. I need to know the radio station. Can you send me to Joe?
Oh, the radio station we're on in Seattle is KKK. It's Triple K.
Triple K.
Oh, my favorite.
KKK.
Triple K, the voice of the Northwest.
All right, thank you much, my friend.
Making a lot of sense. The KKK.
See you later. KKK.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, KKK. Give the prize to anybody else that's calling.
Right.
Except that guy.
Right.
The Dakota Fanning thing. I bring this up knowing that all the pervs are going to call now about the Dakota Fanning jokes that we've made before. You know, she's in this movie that nobody's buying, this thing at Sundance where there's a rape scene with Dakota Fanning.
Well, is it even distributed yet? I mean, it's at the festival right now.
They're trying to find someone. There's no buyers for this movie. And the thing that I find sickening about this is when they report the story,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen it on Entertainment Tonight, on the regular news, on the Today Show, on the evening news, they always put up the picture of Dakota Fanning when she's like five.
Right. When she was a little, she's been in movies forever.
Yeah, I mean.
To play it up, yeah.
Seriously, now you cats, hold on, drop the Dakota Fanning jokes for just one moment.
Right.
She's an actress. She's an incredibly talented, tiny girl actress. She took this
what
role.
What is she, 12 or 13? Is that her current age?
She's 12.
She's 12.
She's 12. And when they do the story on TV, all you hear is the magic word, rape.
Yeah.
And then you hear movie, Dakota Fanning. And they might as well put a picture of JonBenet Ramsey up
sure.
there or the Gerber baby because they want to shock, they want to titillate.
And it falls into the category of so many similar things to this where all the people that are up in arms, the vast majority of them have not seen the movie.
Right. Yeah.
And I read an account of the scene that they're talking about. It is less than 60 seconds, mm-hmm. and you don't see any overt duplication of a sex act. And so a bunch of people are complaining about something that they haven't seen, first of all,
right.
and that they need to judge after they see it. So you
and
know,
now the new thing is to scream at her mom for the...
Yeah, I mean, really, really, like, you know, villainizing her mom, like it's an amazing attack.
And I'm thinking back... How old was Jodie Foster when she was in Taxi Driver? I mean, I know...
How about Brooke Shields and Pretty Baby? Well,
same difference.
Yeah,
right. I mean, but same thing.
But, you know, the thing is, nobody sees the movie, and then they hear this, and then the groups grab hold of it, and it's just so typical of what's happening nowadays where people are going crazy. They haven't seen the movie. How can you comment on anything, unless you've seen the movie?
Mike, only you and I have that talent. It's a bit we used to do a long time ago.
Ah, yes.
We review movies that we have not seen yet.
We have the gift because we can actually formulate a perfect opinion without seeing anything.
For instance, what's coming out real fast?
Blood and Chocolate, the vampire movie. And don't care for it. I don't think it's going to be good.
I agree with you, Mike.
Yeah.
It's not going to be across-the-board success.
Incidentally, when that happens, it's a lock.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't go see that.
Don't go. It's a waste of time.
Because it used to be pretty rare that we would agree on movies. If we happen to agree, good or bad, you had to go along with it.
Throw out another one besides the one that was brought up on the show. Who can think of a movie that's coming out that you've seen
The new Diane Keaton movie that's coming out.
Can't suck enough ass.
Yeah. She's gone to that well one too many times.
She's playing the role that she played in the movie with Jack Nicholson.
Exactly.
That's all she does now. You know, more power to her. What is she, 60? She's not had any work done. She looks okay. But, honey, how many times do we have to see the story with, there's a beautiful woman, and, her life has come to an end because her husband dropped her, and she still doesn't realize how beautiful she is until the very end of the movie. She has a lovely teenage daughter, a young 20s daughter. Oh, my God. They found Mr. Perfect for her.
And Mandy Moore, who still strikes me as kind of that Hillary Duff, bubblegum kind of innocent pop artist. Don't care for her.
Hamlet. On the other hand, Spider-Man, hot. Hot. Red hot.
Is that the Spider-Man where he's going to be wearing all black?
All black.
Is Kirsten Dunst going to be in it?
You bet your ass.
Can't mount an argument on that one.
See?
But, I mean, there's got to be one out there that we would disagree on. There has to be.
Anybody got a list of movies out there? Hey, we've already got the winner, I think, for this 24 thing.
Really?
So everybody should... Yeah, I hope so, Buzz. All for right. goodness sake, we said it 5 minutes ago.
Well, the phones were going crazy over that.
Here we go. It's Andy Bigelow from Dumfries, Virginia.
Congratulations, Andy.
Plus they got a free FM.
Lucky one. Okay.
Oh, I see. Joe just cleared out all the phones. Thank you, Joe. We'll go back to that in a second. Nobody else got a movie for us?
A movie we could disagree on, even the boss?
Adam Sandler, Kevin James movie where they pretend to be gay. I think it's I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Harry.
I've never even heard of this movie.
It was on Entertainment Tonight last evening.
I will tell you, though, yes, sounds good.
Absolutely insane if you go see this. It couldn't suck enough. I mean, Kevin James is okay when he's got somebody like Will Smith to prop him up. But,
excuse me, that's Will Smith.
Adam Sandler,
Adam Sandler is due, Mike.
Life has passed him by.
Adam Sandler is due.
He's had his 15 minutes.
This is a smash.
I have a cinematic hot button for you.
Excuse me.
Talk to me about Norbit.
Norbit?
Norbit?
That's
that?
The new Eddie Murphy movie where he plays five roles.
I saw a trailer for this. Or I actually saw the making of and behind the scenes.
Plays a nerd, a fat lady, and an old Asian man.
I can already tell you on that, and I've not seen anything about that. I would say I already saw The Nutty Professor. No thanks.
I saw The Nutty Professor and loved it, and I actually would actually check this out because of one thing. They showed the they showed Eddie Murphy after the makeup as the Asian guy, and I laughed out loud when I saw it.
But didn't you
I know
see
it's the same thing.
Did you see the end of The Nutty Professor where he's
yes.
in the makeup doing everything?
He's doing everything, and I still like the act. You know, but I would recommend if you're an Eddie Murphy fan, you go see Academy Award nominee Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that's right.
Here's a movie I'd really like to see, so I'd like your advice on this. Ghost Rider with Nick Cage, where he plays the biker with the flaming skull.
That's a good one, Buzz. That movie cannot suck enough.
Really?
That's interesting. You like action-adventure movies. This movie looks kind of intriguing. You know I'm a big Nicolas Cage
fan. And I like Nick Cage, too, and I like the comic books. It's based on the comic books.
Right. I love the special effect where he turns into the flaming skull.
It looks stupid.
I won't go see it.
Really?
I won't go see
you
it.
You won't go see that.
It looks funny. It looks
I'm
like
amazed
a lot of gags.
Negative. Negative. See, we have the gift, though, Buzz.
Yes, you do.
On these movies that we are split on, there is a chance that the public will go one way or the other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But when our two halves of a brain come together as one,
anything can happen.
Forget it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I got a movie for you.
Yeah.
The Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider. What do you think of that?
You didn't catch the delay, sir. We actually just talked about it.
All right, see you later.
Damn it.
Yes and no.
All right, I'm out.
Okay, bye-bye. See you later. Goodbye.
There really aren't a lot of incredible movies.
No, Fantastic Four, another comic book movie.
Oof. God, they go to the well with that one too many times.
I like Fantastic Four.
Yeah, but I'd like to see a new one, fresh
Mike?
One.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
It's snowing outside.
Is it really?
Look outside. It's snowing like crazy.
Or are those the birds again?
No, that's real snow.
It's snowing like crazy outside.
Look at that snow. Take that, crows.
Scott Baio is coming on the show in the next couple of weeks.
Yes. What the hell has he been doing?
Well, he's writing a book, Mike. And
okay. He's not going to be in anything. He's just got a book.
He's got a book. And it's a book about all the chicks he's banged.
Oh, good.
Do you know that Scott Baio banged Heather Locklear?
Wow.
Pam Anderson. And, of course, Aaron Moran.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Who hasn't?
Chachi. Now,
Joni.
Yeah, right. Right. She was Joni. He was Chachi.
Right.
Let me see. He lost his virginity to her on the set of Happy Days.
That is so cool.
When he was 16.
Joni really did love Chachi.
All the guys lost their virginity to her.
Scott Baio says, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say after we got naked.
Wasn't she a legendary slut? I don't know. I'm just saying that to be mean.
Well, I just thought I'd follow up.
For the first 5 minutes, I was thinking, I'm doing it with her. And man, this is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, my penis, instead of, I was humping a corduroy sofa. That is,
I like the book already.
And here's the other tidbit they sent. One girl sent him her underpants. She'd gone number one and menstruated in.
Ugh.
Didn't wipe and ran a mile in so he could have her natural essence.
Ugh.
Was that Marion Rugg?
Yeah, that's
the mom.
Right.
Oh, Mrs. C. Yeah.
Mrs. Cunningham.
How good
Mrs.
is that?
Mrs. Cunningham.
I never thought I would like Scott Baio as a guest, but I think so.
Yeah. Well, if it's all about our favorite subject, that'll be great.
Let me see. In this book, he also claims that Liza once asked him, for a role in The Hay, but Liza did not want him just for sex.
No,
she said to him, "I want your sperm."
Ew! He was the it guy for a while. He really was. It moved right off of Fonzie and onto Chachi. I mean, Chachi followed up Fonzie.
Explain that.
It did.
What happened there?
Fonzie was the big deal.
And later, Scott Baio morphed into Blackie Parrish,
yep.
Who is still on some level, John Stamos still barely hanging on to being in showbiz, right?
I would imagine that John Stamos has probably an equally impressive resume of women because he's quite the smithy.
Sure.
He's no Sheen, I'll tell you that.
No, Sheen was... I think Sheen probably could have done better with legitimate women, but instead went through the underworld with porn stars.
Oh, hold on. Yeah. Speaking of porn, I got a picture, too, of Jess Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. This is her getting out of the limousine. And, I mean, you can see virtually her entire right boob. Take a look at that. We will post that immediately on our website. And please remember, kids, it's NSFW, not safe
for work.
Right. Wow.
Ain't that nice?
Man, she is.
She's just a piece of ass, isn't she?
She's got him.
Who cares how stupid she is?
Exactly. Really.
How long do you think you'd be able to bang her before you got sick of her?
A year.
Yeah.
You think a year?
A good solid year.
Better part of a year.
Maybe 6 months. Really?
6 months, 9 months, 12 months. That's what we're looking
at. It depends. Are you just banging her, or do you, like, have to talk to her, though?
Oh, you'd have to talk to her. And that, you're right. Maybe that has to... Now maybe...
Maybe just a weekend.
Knock that down to a long weekend.
A weekend.
A really long weekend.
A weekend with Jessica Simpson.
I don't know. What is the rap on her? Is the rap on her that they are real or fake?
I believe
because they look real.
They're real and they're spectacular, I guess. Right?
Yeah. And you know what I think I see? Tell me if you see this. It looks to me like she's got nip tape on. Tell me if it doesn't look like
that. You'd about
it looks like she, on the right, on that right, she's got, there's something between the dress and her boob.
Looks like a Band-Aid, Mike.
Like a little Band-Aid, right?
Some a Band-Aid right over her.
Some sort of.
Big bulbous nipple.
Yeah.
Her big, Nick Lachey has lifted this nipple.
Yeah, Nick Lachey, I mean, he's notching a few more in his belt, too.
Nick Lachey likes being the baby.
Getting around.
Mommy. Mommy.
Now you're just fantasizing.
Hungry.
You're projecting. That is one of the better pictures we've ever put on the website.
Diaper pail clubs. Nick Lachey.
Jessica Simpson changing him.
Mommy. God, she's so stupid. But I tell you what, you know what she'd be ideal for? Would be the one-night stand.
Do you think that she'd
be the one-night stand of all one-night stands?
You'd never forget. Do you think we can hope that perhaps, you know, I think she's established the fact that her acting ability is not strong and that she will continuously get bad reviews. Do you think maybe if the career does go south that we may see her in movies that where she's got to expose more?
Well, why doesn't she do what Dakota Fanning's doing? Dakota Fanning.
You mean like...
Give us a good rape scene.
Dakota can act.
No, I mean with Jessica Simpson.
I'm thinking about...
Who wouldn't go to see that movie?
Mm-hmm. What's
and make that the title of it. The Rape of Jessica Simpson. Of course, done with love.
Yes.
Done with love.
A tender movie.
Rape is too strong a word.
Maybe a musical.
Well, there's a movie with Denise Richards that's a real, like, sex movie, and... It's with another chick, and I wish I remember the actor.
I know the one you mean. Kevin Bacon's in it.
Kevin Bacon's in it.
And it's the girl from Party of Five.
Yes. And it's...
Nev Campbell?
Yes.
Nev Campbell, and it's, it's just a sex fest.
That's a dirty movie.
It's a dirty movie.
That's a dirty, dirty one.
We can only hope Jessica Simpson starts making those career choices.
I think they're going to work a rape scene into the Dukes of Hazzard too.
We got a break right here because we come back from American Chopper.
Yes.
And nobody tell them we screwed up that. I screwed up that name yesterday. Right, we'll talk to the Tuttles when we come right
Tuttles.
Back. Okay, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Have you seen my baseball?
Sorry. Hey, check it out.
Have you seen my baseball?
Hey, buddy, come here. I think I know where your ball is.
You see my baseball?
Yeah, I see it. You see that girl over there? She has, except that she doesn't call it a baseball. She's got another name for it.
Have you seen my wiener?
The Don and Mike Show.
He's mentally retarded.
I like their show a lot. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, now it's time to go to TV heaven.
Time for Chopper Talk, baby.
Who doesn't love American Chopper? Move to TLC. We have Paul Sr. and Mikey on the phone.
Absolutely.
And I don't know who is on which line.
Got two different lines. That means they're in two. Maybe they're in two different places.
Hey,
are you guys in the same state, Sr.?
What's that?
Hey, hello, Sr. Are you there?
I'm here.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, sir. And Mikey?
No, yeah, how you doing? Mikey's MIA.
Oh, Mikey's
MIA. Yeah.
No, hold on. He's here.
We got Mikey on the phone. All right, Mikey. Then I think we gotta find out where you are. Where are you now, Mikey?
I'm in Toledo.
You're in Toledo, Paul Senior. Do you know that Mikey's in Toledo?
I do now.
Hey, that's a good gag we use on the show when we get a bitch calling. We say, "See you in Toledo."
See you in Toledo.
Like spelling the C word.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. What are you doing in Toledo?
I'm working with orphans.
Good for you.
Senior, first, here's your plug. American Chopper, which we love, has moved to TLC. It's on tonight at 9 Eastern, 8 Central on TLC, the brand new episode. Out of all the times that you've gotten mad at
me?
Yeah, you senior.
Oh, I think you're talking about Mikey.
No. Well,
Mikey doesn't get mad as much as you and your other son.
No, he doesn't. Out of all the times that you've got mad, and incidentally, I should tell you, sir, that when you get mad, you're right. Every single time.
I know that.
You're goddamn right.
I know that.
I think, and I've watched the show pretty religiously, I think your best meltdown ever was last season when you were making the bike for Gillette. When you just went ballistic on Paul Jr., and you went ballistic on Vinny.
Okay. And is that the exhaust or some shit?
Yes. And then you apologized to Vinny.
Yeah, I did.
But you did it in this way, which I love, sir, because you really didn't apologize. You said to him, if I did something that offended you, I apologize. I guess my question was going to be, Senior, what do you think your best moment of just losing it on the show is? The one that you're proudest of?
Me?
Yeah, you. Yeah, you, sir.
There's been some heavies, man. Jeez, I think the you know what? I don't know if you're watching the very, very beginning when we were at the old shop downstairs. Me and him got into an argument about who does more.
Yeah, I saw. Is that when you kicked the frame out of the door?
That was a heavy one, man.
Oh, you were so. I mean, that one. You know, that actually came through the television. I was amazed at that.
I think that was the worst one. Yeah, that I remember. Yeah.
You know the old cliche that the camera doesn't lie. I watched the show and it really seems to me that is not necessarily tweaked up. You know, reality.
No, there's no tweaking there. Trust me when I tell you.
It just doesn't seem like, because, I mean, there are long periods of time when you guys go through, you know, perfectly peaceful periods where you're really happy about making a bike and you're going on a trip and you're really excited about the delivery. And but then when it really happens, it really happens.
Well, you got to understand something. Nobody in my family has acting ability. None of us are actors. None of us ever trained for any of that. We can't even remember two lines.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It does seem real.
That's not true.
Mike, yeah.
Well read.
That's not true. My father and brother are going to be in a Disney movie.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we are, with John Travolta and Martin Lawrence and Tim Allen and Ray Liotta.
How did you get shut out of that, Mikey?
I don't know.
It's because you're in Toledo, man.
Yeah.
I'm working with orphans in Toledo.
Another question for you, Mikey. On an average day, when you go into this shop with your dad and your brothers and everybody, what is your job? Seriously, dude, what is your job? I mean, I know what your brother does. I know what almost everybody else in there does. I'm not busting your balls. Just what do you think your job description is?
Well, it really, I'm a utility man.
Yeah, there you go.
We got someone like you on our show. His name is Rob.
Very much. Paul Sr., I do get the impression that if Paul Jr. was to be not part of this anymore, it might put a real hurt on the whole operation. Do you feel that way? If Mikey was to stay in Toledo, would that be a fatal blow to your operation?
Yeah, I think that it's the dynamic trio that really, I think it's the combination, and I think that you know that too.
Yeah, by the way, it wouldn't hurt your business, though. I mean, making the motorcycles, I mean, it would hurt the TV show.
It would definitely hurt the TV show.
Paul Sr., with everything you do, with all the screaming you do, not only your kids, but everybody else, can I give you a compliment, sir? You're a goddamn good dad.
Thank you.
I like the way you are with your sons. It's no BS. You tell them what the frig is going on. Have you been like that with them their whole? Have you been that demonstrative with them their whole lives?
I think worse at times. Well, don't forget it's a family business, and the business was we were in the steel business for 30 something years. So those guys been around me working for me since they were kids. You know what I mean? So it's just a matter of moving to a different business.
So the steel business actually was responsible. Your success in the steel business is what spawned Orange County Choppers, right?
Right, and my son Dan owns that business now, and he runs that business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the show's great. Everybody tells you that. It's moved to TLC. There's your plug again. Good show tonight.
You know, I'm gonna ask you one serious question about somebody comes to you, you know, somebody who rides, because now with the popularity of that, it must be. I mean, really, is there ever an average as far as cost? Do you guys even do that for the average guy that can, you know, I mean, obviously you make money on the corporate level. You do a lot of corporate bikes. But can the average guy that wants a chopper built for him up, you know, from the ground up, can he come to you still? And get it in any kind of reasonable fashion, or is it way out of line for the average guy?
We probably build 125 bikes a year just for private customers, just for people off the street.
I see a lot of episodes where you guys are working on one specialty bike, but then you'll hear Senior will scream out in the background something like,
we got other bikes to build.
Yeah. I've seen an episode where he said, we got 20 bikes that we got to get done in 4 friggin' days.
You know, I'm thinking, because I ride all the time, and I'm thinking an average, do you have any kind? I know it's dramatically different in price, but you know, to get a bike from Orange County Choppers, even an average bike, what do you have an average cost of what it is out the door?
They start at $32,000.
Okay.
Which is, you know, believe it or not, we're our prices are competitive with our competitors. You know, we're not, you know, we're not out of the realm of everybody else on the market. I think there's that perception because of our popularity, but it's not so, you know.
And so you will be, and are you going into the production business too? Are you going to have
Yeah. And if you watch the show tonight, you'll see the two bikes that I, you know, me and Paulie build. I build one, he builds another one, and then the winner of that goes into the next production bike for our dealer network.
Wow. Oh, cool. All right. You really trumped me there, Mike, by announcing that you ride.
I mean, what's that?
No, Michael Mara. See, the problem is my buddy is Mike, and your son is named. My Mike here, he rides.
Yeah, I ride. I'm a new rider, and I'm fascinated by it. And that's why, you know, I love watching you guys build those things. And I tell you, the one thing when I see most of those bikes you guys made, they're beautiful to the eye, but, man, they look like they would hurt my ass. They really do.
Some will.
Yeah.
Some will. But we ride them all.
Mikey, okay, I don't want you to feel left out. Mikey, do you get laid much from being on the show?
Say that again?
Do you get laid a lot from being on the show?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I should answer that.
Yeah, you got Dad on the phone here.
But yes.
Thank you. Senior, here's another question for you. Out of all the celebrities that have been on the show, and maybe you wouldn't want to say this, I'll give you an example. I watched the episode with Bill Murray a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out if Bill Murray is being a jerk to the people in the shop, or, as Mike has said, we've had this debate, if it's his caustic, understated humor.
Right.
If not Bill Murray, you must have had at least one celebrity that came in to have a bike and was just a total dick. Has there been?
Not too often. And Bill Murray was a great guy. I mean, he was, like, phenomenal. Oh. He was so much fun. He was, like, the best guy that we ever did anything for, I think, personally.
So that was a big act when Bill Murray was walking around the bike, like when you guys...
He's just a key character, you know what I mean?
Because you got to know what they did. These guys went to a golf course, and they got... Like stuff that you see on a golf course, like the ball washer.
Plus the Caddyshack bike.
Yeah,
it
and
was
they
great.
Turned it into it a bike great. For Bill Murray, and he walked around it and had a look of indifference on his face. And I guess it was, you know, it's all how you perceive.
I think that's his sense of humor. That's the way he normally does.
So Senior, there's been no real jerks?
Hello?
Senior? Yeah, what's that?
No jerks? No real dickheads?
Nobody that ever...
Not really. Not, you know... We don't tolerate that, you know.
Good.
Hey, if they were, you don't see them too long, you know, because they're gone, you know. And it doesn't matter whether they're a celebrity or not, you know what I mean?
I'm not sure.
And now I got more questions for you, Senior. I'm so fascinated by you, and please don't think that I'm gay for you. Is there a Mrs. Senior? Is there a woman in your life?
Yes, there is.
And when will we...
I have a girlfriend.
When do we get to see your gal pal on the show?
She'll be on the next couple shows, actually.
Hey.
She did a few shows that we did that are coming up. We did a show. We had the guys from Miami Ink here, and we got tattoos. And then we have Bull Mastiff Dogs, and she's in one of the segments of training the dogs. So you'll see her. She's beautiful.
And Mikey, is there a woman in your life right now, or are there many?
There's a few.
Good for you.
There's not many, and there isn't a single woman that I truly care for. You know?
There's But Paul Jr., he's married, right? Right, Paul?
He's not married, but he does have a girlfriend for quite some time now.
Okay. So. All right, David, there's the person.
You might as well say he is married.
Okay.
Another thing I admire about you as a dad is that even though you bust these guys' balls, and especially with Paul Jr., because you let him go with the very creative part of coming up with these bikes.
So the bike design, right?
Yeah, you get the concept, and you pretty much let your son roll with it. And even though you bust his balls and tell him he's an idiot and retarded, you get the feeling that you are truly trusting him in that regard with your empire. And that's pretty cool to pass that on to your son. And that really comes through, even with the yelling and the screaming.
It does. How long do you see yourself staying with it, Dad? How long are you going to do it?
As long as I can, you know what I mean? We've been doing it for 4.5 years now, and, you know, we seem to stay successful at what we're doing, and the company keeps growing. So, you know, you got to do something, and if you're going to do something, you might as well do something that you enjoy, you know what I mean? So,
and your new shop is going to be fan accessible, right? It's going to be, is it going to be right off the highway or something like that?
Right on the New York State Thruway and right on the airport. It's phenomenal.
Wow. This guy's
very cool.
100,000 square feet, 3 stories. It's going to be great. You know?
Great talking to both of you guys.
Thank you.
We just love slurping you. Your show is great.
Thank you.
Watch American Chopper tonight. The last thing
9 o'clock.
The last thing that we'll tell you guys, and then we'll let you go. Maybe four years ago, maybe right when the American Chopper went on the air, we were out in Las Vegas doing some broadcast, and we were walking through the hotel. We were not even on the radio. We were just regular guys walking through the hotel, and we saw Jesse James.
Uh-huh.
And
oh man, we were so embarrassed. We blew this, man. And this is when you guys first started doing your show,
right? There was a little buzz on your show, and we thought that we were among the cool ones that had discovered the show.
He was walking by us, and we grabbed him. And we sat down. This shows you how influential you two were on us.
We didn't know all the players on your show. We walked up and we said, "Dude, we love your show." And he's like, "Thank you very much." And then we said,
"We love it when you fight with your dad."
Yeah. Listen, we get it all the time too. They go, "Yo, Wesco. We love you, West Coast Choppers."
It does get confused. But you'll be very happy to know that Jesse James was totally pissed off.
He was.
When we did that.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
Screw him and the horse he rode to town on. Your show's the best. Mikey, nice talking to you in this limited capacity.
Have fun in Toledo.
Hey, guys, thank you very much for having
dude.
Us on.
All right.
And Paul Sr., now you know where Mikey is, and we'll let you go, too.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you, guys.
Bye-bye.
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 Paul Sr. and Mikey.
I
tunnels.
Do legitimately believe that Paul Sr. didn't know where Mikey was.
Yeah.
I mean, Toledo. He's AWOL.
A little bit of insight. I spoke to Paul Sr.'s publicist.
Yeah.
And she said, "We're not sure where Mikey is. He called in sick."
Oh.
And so when he called in, I said, "How are you feeling?" And there's a pause. He said, "Fine. I'm just not at work."
He's in Toledo.
He's in Toledo.
Doing charity work.
Nice life.
And you know, even after everything we went through yesterday on the show, that embarrassing calling it Monster Garage, when I got up today, I said to my girlfriend, "Oh, I'm really excited today. I'm going to talk to those guys from Monster Garage."
Well, don't they run together? I told you yesterday, those shows run together. The Chopper shows do run together, and the Jesse James show.
Yeah, but there's such a difference between the Jesse James show and the Tunnels show.
But not when you get to the nuts and bolts when they're in the shop making the bikes. Then they all really do kind of run together a little
bit.
Yeah,
but even that on American Chopper, even when they're making the bikes, there still is that underlying, "I'm going to screw with you," or, you know, "Mikey, get out of here," or... I love it when Senior just tells everybody to leave because he's pissed at them for the day.
Yeah.
And everybody gets in their cars and leaves.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's Friday, and then the next time on the show, it's Monday.
It's Monday, and they come back. And that the meltdowns that he has with his son, that's the same thing, where you'll see his son always comes back right the next day, sure. no problem at all, even when he kicks the frame off the door.
All right,
even through the phone, there's that tension.
Thank ye to the Tuttles. Nice. And again, just, I know you weren't even doing it intentionally.
Yeah.
I felt it, though, that you really, because I love the show.
Oh, I kept it in my pants. I did.
Did you one-up me, though? And rightly so.
You
just kind of threw it in. Incidentally, I ride a bike. I own a bike.
You got it.
But I'm going to tell you, I own a bicycle.
I didn't say the truth, which was I would really, and I, you know, when I made that comment about his bikes, that would not be the kind of bike that you would see me driving more than half an hour on, because really... Those bikes to me, the way I ride, I would see that being a painful experience.
Yeah, not for
they
comfort.
Got the tiny little seat. If you ever really look at them, those bikes. You know what those bikes are for? Those bikes are for
looks.
Taken out of the garage for about 15 minutes, taking them to a show, showing off people. Riding a long distance on some of those chops, that'd be just not doable.
A lot of them when they've got, I don't know a dick about motorcycles, so right. Bear with me. But when they've got that the long, long space between the seat and the front wheel.
The classic chopper.
Isn't that, but I mean, they've got some that almost look like funny cars.
Yeah, so right.
How the freak do you navigate like a right-hand turn on that thing?
It's harder. It is harder to really, you got to get, it's a different experience than like a fat boy, like the bike that I ride. It's an easier bike to negotiate.
Right.
A bike like they have, they're show bikes, what they really are, they're show bikes.
Throw that in, you bastard.
Well, it's because I'd like you to ride.
I'm so envious.
I'd like, because I know you always
want the fat boy, the bike I ride. I'm Mike O'Mara, my brain's in perfect condition, and I ride a motorcycle.
I'm having a good day today. I'm having one of my my two good days of the year.
In case you've just tuned in about an hour ago, Mike gave us a totally facetious report that he got from a doctor telling him that his brain was okay. And
younger. I have a young brain.
Young brain.
And that his liver, get this, is perfect.
Just nice and clean.
Nice and clean.
Nice and clean is what he said. Little issue with the kidneys. Wants me to drink more water. And I drink a lot of water, so I'm a little worried about that one. That might be the hooch.
Yeah.
That might like be a little tricky way that the hooch is working its way in.
And don't you think that on American Choppers, Mikey is just a little Jack Osborne-ish?
Very, very much so. I mean, I looked at the bio, and it was so funny when you're reading about Mikey.
What did it say?
Well, they have Paul Tuttle Sr., and said, like his brother before him, Michael, known as Mikey, went to work for Orange County Ironworks at age 12. Mikey toiled at Honor Works until he turned 20. Then he moved to Tempe, Arizona, where he went through 6 different jobs in 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
But his job is answering the phones. They talk about, you know, Paul formed the company out of Orange County Iron Works. Paul Jr. is responsible for design and innovation, some of the most innovative choppers.
Yeah.
Mikey answers the phones and orders parts. And his job's a bouncer at a bar, a busboy, a telemarketer, a valet parking attendant, and a movie theater guy.
He's mentally retarded.
He's great. All right, thank you to the Tuttles. Check out their show tonight on TLC. And we'll be back.
This is the Don and...
And, you know, with Hitler, the more I learn about that guy, the more I don't care for him. I can't... Yeah. And nothing, there's nothing redeeming about the guy. I tell you, the guys, I go, how on earth could these Germans, like, follow this lunatic, you know? And they're like, oh, he was an incredible public speaker, you know? He could hypnotize you with his public speaking. And then I see him, he's like, Schlagley, Schlagley, Schlagley! I go, what? That's not my idea of a silver-tongued devil, you know?
Oh, hi there, everybody.
Hello!
Hi there.
You're about damn teeth.
Oh, thank you. Hey, you know what?
Hey, you know something?
What's that?
No, what?
What?
I had a little dream last night.
Right.
A different breed of cat. The Don and Mike Show.
Speaking of cats. It was a good time to open up our phone lines.
Yeah.
At 877-365-3636. We're going to get into this cougar thing right here and right now.
Very good.
All right. We're going to see who calls first. Now, keep in mind that the point of this exercise is, of course, to get some hot, nasty talk about guys who have recently scored with cougars. And, eventually, the ladies who are cougars who have been scored upon by guys.
Yes.
Scored with, scored on, used right. like toilets by guys.
Now, do we have parameters for this? Is there a certain age group that we that you have to fall into? Like the youngest cougar, the oldest cougar? There's no age limit for a cougar.
This is where we need the calls from our listeners. Specifically you guys. And I'm thinking over the holiday break, when everybody had time off. You'd be out. You know, everything gets better looking as the night goes on.
Of course.
Parties.
What we're looking for right now are guys who have recently scored with cougars. She's a
lady. And then we'll hear about your conquest and we'll tell you whether it's a pure cougar conquest.
Right. And it will help us define the parameters for our eventual goal of the Don and Mike Cougarettes, our horror/cheerleader/street team.
The street team we're going to send everywhere.
That will go out and represent us like a Dick's Sporting Goods.
Now, the cougar parameters are not just age. I would think that they would fall into the category of whether you're you know, you're a mom or not, or
yeah.
You know,
I mean, there's a lot. There's MILFs that are cougars. There are
sure.
weather-beaten women that are cougars. Women who have never had children, who have never been married. So women who have been right. married many, many times.
Record-setting cougars.
So
we're
just gonna the leather skin. I mean,
right.
There are so many traits that you could attribute to the modern cougar. Really, rather than just go on urban legend and what people think it is,
let's find out.
Let's try to talk to guys specifically who have banged cougars recently.
And the criteria is quite simply this right now. You know, you're a younger guy. You don't even have to be a younger guy, but you're basically pursuing...
You're younger than she is.
You're younger than she is. You're pursuing a woman who is significantly older than you are.
Right.
And would that significance be 10 years or more?
I'll throw out an example.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Are you going to answer with this example? Is that what it's going to be?
My son, mm-hmm. who will be 22 in about a month, there is one of the moms of one of his friends
right.
has kiddingly said to him, mm-hmm. I believe it passed along to me, where she's like, and she's a single mom.
Flirted.
She's pulled him aside and said, you know.
Single mom.
It would be, baby. What a big boy he's getting to be.
Yeah, and they grow up so fast.
Said stuff like that. And the thing is, she's a lady I would bang. And I would guess that she is maybe 15 years older. She's in her. Mm-hmm. No, hold on. God damn, he's 22. She's 20 years older. She's in her early.
She's 42, 43.
She's in her early to mid-40s. And
hello.
She's a good-looking cougar.
Mm-hmm.
Real good-looking. I got to be careful. She might be listening now.
Yeah.
Let me offer this. The cougar should be old enough to be the prey's mother. 20 years.
I think that might be too old, though, Robbie, because what if the cougar is like 45 and all leathery, and the guy's only 30? Technically, he's still going out with a cougar, right?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think if you're 30 and you're going out with a 45-year-old, that's not... I really think that should be... not a bad criteria. Old enough to be the mother.
But aren't we...
Of course, it depends on what part of West Virginia you go to.
Right.
That 30 and 45 thing might work quite nicely.
And aren't we limiting ourselves here by saying that the guy has to... Are we just looking at...
I mean, I'm
guy?
A reverse cougar. I'm a reverse cougar
yes,
myself.
You are.
Yeah.
Aren't we looking at this point for guys... who have banged cougars, regardless if the guy was 18 or 38, if the woman was like 42, 45, leathery, painted on skin.
Kind of looks like a cougar.
Here is Joe, our cougar expert.
Well, I agree with what you're just saying, but I think actually we're kind of going with the demo of like you're a college kid and a woman who's divorced.
Oh, I think it could be a guy in his 20s.
Or high school.
Anywhere from college age up through like 26, 27.
Right.
But I think we can even push it the other way. I mean.
Do you think it could be a guy in his 30s that's like going out with somebody in their 60s?
No. I think a guy.
Man, I had lunch with a buddy of mine the other day who was talking about one of his, you know, how wonderful the internet is. And this is not a younger guy. This is a guy about my age, but he was talking about how he met this woman, and she appeared to be like 35, 36. And he was amazed at how beautiful she was, and it turned out that she was 59.
Wow. Here's the thing about cougars.
Sorry to reveal that.
But say even if you were our age, mm-hmm. I'm 48, Mikey's 47. As I say, the ratings just moved into a super job.
Thanks, Charlie Brown.
Has nobody ever fought that? That's an inside joke that only three people get.
I'm Charlie Brown. I'm Irv Harrigan. We're finally at their age.
All right, so. I'm 48. Let's say I'm a single successful guy. I'm out of the bar scene. I see a cougar who is maybe 55, 7 years older than me. What, did you just pull your gold chain out outside your shirt?
Outside my shirt, Charlie Brown.
If I was to see a 55-year-old, leathery, looks like she smells like an ashtray, a cougar, would I not count as having a cougar conquest?
It just came to me. I think you're defining cougars, I think we define them this way. The cougar is the older broad that's out looking for it.
Praise on younger
men. And if she finds
men.
You, it's fine. If she finds the 25-year-old,
bingo.
It's really not the age difference as much as what the woman's intentions are.
Right. Thank you.
And isn't it women that hang out in bars looking for younger guys?
And how old she is. I mean,
and if she say, you know,
you
anywhere from like 38 through 58.
Yeah, because you couldn't be a 25-year-old cougar.
No. You can't be a 25-year-old cougar. Unless you smoked a lot from like 10 years old.
I'm gonna write a name down.
All right.
You know what?
And you write a name down, and I'll tell you whether I think a cougar or not.
This is too obvious.
Okay.
She's a cougar, right?
Yeah.
And you know what?
Absolutely.
She would be one of the gross cougars. She would be one of the cougars you'd wake up the next morning.
Absolutely.
Ah. You'd wake up the next morning and you would taste bile.
Yeah.
Oh. You'd go like, oh, Jesus.
That's
Christ,
the definition of a cougar right there.
Okay. Still.
That no, I missed that.
Oh, yeah.
Still doing it, right?
Okay. You know her, right?
Still doing it on a regular basis. Oh,
getting it done. Getting it done.
She's out getting porked by young guys.
Yeah.
All the time. Here I am. Listen,
you know the place I had lunch the other day?
A close friend of mine. Here I am throwing her under the bus, selling her out.
Dear friend.
She's a dear close friend, but she's like the cougar of all time.
There are joints around town that are known as the Cougar Hangs. I mean,
really?
That place right up the street where I had lunch that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
That was, I'll tell you, lunchtime, it was Cougar City. It was not Cougar City, because you know what, to me, well, I'm 47, so I perceive it a little differently.
Right.
But I would imagine if you were a 25-year-old guy,
yep,
there were a lot of women, I would say, anywhere from 35 to 55, and they were dressed up, they looked good. This is getting me all hot and bothered.
Yeah. I believe your son discussed that one of the biggest hunting grounds for cougars are concerts, like the 80s concerts that tour in the summer.
Oh, my God.
Journey shows and stuff like that.
Who was the woman that used to babysit my kid that was a cougar? And we found out after the fact that she took him to a show at Wolf Trap.
That's right.
Was it Hall & Oates or some 80s? Or no, maybe it was Journey.
Might have been Journey.
Journey and Steve Miller and Foreigner.
Right.
She took him to one of those retro shows.
Yep.
And this is when he was still a senior in high school,
right?
And gave him like some wine and wanted to lay out the blanket. And,
sure.
And
you know who's a cougar?
Who's that?
Paula Abdul is a cougar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Paula Abdul is a perfect cougar.
High end cougar.
Yeah. Paula Abdul last night on the show when that guy that 16-year-old walked in there.
Okay. You know who's a low end cougar?
Mm-hmm.
A low end cougar.
Who?
Carm Soprano.
Yeah, absolutely.
She'd be like...
Likes the younger men.
The bottom of the barrel.
Oh, there's worse.
Of course, but I mean, she would be a good example as the one that would be sitting at the bar at the end of the night.
Hollywood has loads of cougars also.
Sure.
You have loads of women now that are older. Pam Anderson is probably a cougar.
She's getting there.
Pam Anderson is a slut. She'll always be a young at heart slut. She's not a cougar.
How about Demi Moore?
Not a cougar yet.
Not a cougar.
Not a cougar. Yet.
Maybe. Well, of course, everybody someday.
They all will become cougars eventually. Right. Women do not retain their youthfulness as we do.
For anybody who's protesting this, thinking there's a double standard, you are absolutely right.
And besides,
women become cougars.
So.
We become old lions.
You know what it is? Gray hair in a man. You know what it is? Dignified,
distinguished.
You know what it is on a woman? A reason to kill yourself. Seriously. A man gets a gray hair and he says, hey, cool. A woman gets a gray hair, she wants to put her head in the oven.
But with that said, the whole concept of cougars are that young guys will pursue older women and are doing so in record numbers.
Here's a bad cougar for you.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton.
How would she be a bad cougar? She's not even sexual.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why she'd be bad.
She'd be a horrible cougar.
That's what I'm saying. If she was in a bar at the end of the night, she'd be worse than Carm Soprano. If they were the two broads left at the bar at the end of the night, you would probably go for Carm Soprano before Hillary Clinton, right?
In a heartbeat.
But I think to be a cougar, you have to be a predator. You have to be a woman who preys on younger men.
They're out there looking for it.
And when I say that, I'm assuming that in that instance, Hillary Clinton is on the make,
right?
Like Carm Soprano.
Yeah,
if you put them
into that situation, you're saying bad cougars, good cougars.
Right.
But that's what we have to remember. It is the predatory element that we have to include in this. That's the way it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got tons of calls about.
Well, there are places around here that they're just loaded with them.
I don't know if these are going to be mainly guys who have had their conquests or
been conquered.
Women who have been conquered. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Okay, my friend, what's your name?
Okay, now I got to preface this by saying this is long ago cougar action.
Hold on, what's your name, please? Just for our record.
Richard.
Okay, Dick. So what's happening?
When I was 18 in college, I was a freshman in college. There was a lady in my acting class. Oh. Who was 38, and she showed interest real quick, and of course, being 18,
We got to stop this for a second. We must make the distinction between the Mrs. Robinson factor
yes.
and the cougar factor, because
the Mrs. Robinson factor is you know, the frustrated housewife, and that's a different, she's not, she can't go out and actively pursue.
Because you might argue that Mrs. Robinson was a cougar, but the way that the movie was set up,
right.
Mrs. Robinson, not really a cougar.
Yeah, but even women that are married and, you know, the mommies that go out, you get them in a pack, it's not a bad strategy.
And, excuse me, I think that a cougar must be a woman who has either been spurned by a man or has never had a man or has been dumped a million times. We should not count as active cougars broads that are just cheating on their husbands.
No, cheating doesn't. I don't think you count as a cougar.
You have to be
if you're out there cheating.
You got to be
but,
an old.
But yet you walk predator. Into a bar and you know the way you're going to judge a cougar. You're going to look and you say, hey, there's an older broad boy. She's looking hot. Hey, she's giving me the eye. So her lifestyle and her situation
don't
does not play into it.
Right.
What plays into it is the fact that she's there as a predator looking for it in a
on
bar, and she's an older broad looking for a younger guy.
Right.
That's really the only criteria.
Yep. She is a predator, and I think she is almost always fueled by alcohol.
I like it when you talk about this.
Thank you.
Don't you think? Yes. Don't you think so?
You know why he's into it? He's into it because it's woman hating.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Or is it?
Hello, howdy.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I just called. I want to first share my story and also clarify something. Exactly. You guys were saying that cougars can't be too young or too old. Actually, cougars in their 30s, they're called pumas. In their 40s, they're called cougars, and in their 50s, they're called leopards.
I did not
see
that.
Now you learn something.
And there's actually like a point system assigned to each one that if you get an older one, you actually get like 3 points as opposed to like 1 point
for a
woman in their 30s.
This
pumas.
Is the type of guy that we got. This is a guy
absolutely.
Plugged into the cougar scene.
Right. That's right.
Well, I am a college student in my 20s, so I've actually been on the lookout for the cougars. So.
Have you had a cougar conquest?
Actually, I've had one and a half. I've had one where it's definitely gone all the way. I've had one where it's kind of been a thing at the club, and then she ended up disappearing and it didn't happen.
All right, well, the most recent cougar conquest.
I'd admire a college kid that tackled a leopard.
All right.
That would be fabulous.
How long?
Actually, I never learned her age, but the most recent one, we were at the that club Dream in D.C.
Yep, know it well.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
And I was there with a couple friends, and it was like a mixed group, so guys and girls. And we were just, you know, drinking at the bar and everything. And then I saw, of course, like that cluster of women. And, you know, one thing led to another. I ended up talking to a couple of them. One of them showed interest.
One of them.
And exactly. And then we moved on to a separate private table.
Describe her physically, please.
Please, yeah, give us a good description.
Yeah.
Physically, let's just say maybe 20, 25 years ago, she looked good in that dress. But now it was just, thank God, the lighting wasn't very bright, and thank God I had a couple drinks in me.
Now, let me ask you something. You're talking this game right now, but at the time, are you... You're genuinely attracted, right? I mean, you're looking at her.
Or do you just want to get your nut?
Let's just say that, you know, it was a booty call, and, you know, right. It wasn't the kind of thing I'd do on a sober, well-lit area.
And there's a reason. There's a reason you don't ask her age, right?
Well, exactly, because you really don't want to spoil it.
If you were going to really guesstimate, you're how old, sir?
22.
You're 22, and if you were reasonably going to guesstimate her age, what would you say she was?
Let's just say if she was buying drinks, she might have been able to get a senior discount.
Wow.
Just based on...
Yeah, she might have been 55.
Based on appearance, they just looked like she really dolled herself.
All right, then here's another question.
Yeah.
So where did you bang her?
We went back to her place.
Okay, so you get...
She actually happened to have a place in Adams Morgan, so it actually worked out pretty well.
So you get back to her place. Was there a gross moment when she took her clothes off, when you saw, like, varicose veins? How was she put together nice? How was her body? How were her boobs?
Well, not to break the FCC rules. Actually, I went into the bathroom just to kind of, you know, I guess freshen up. And when I came back, she was under the sheets, and she was already done with all that kind of stuff.
Oh, so she actually is. Was she aware of her age, do you think, because of that? And she wanted to play it that way a little bit?
A bit, but the thing is, she wasn't kind of like a reclusive, kind of let's turn the lights out. She was more of a, you know, per se, a cougar. She was very kind of, how do you say,
coy.
Aggressive, but...
Was she on top or were you on top?
To be honest, and not to be cliche, I really don't remember.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
And did you stay the night, or did you leave after it was over?
Oh, God, I left the minute we were done.
There you go. Well,
you, now it's done.
You are a good, good cougar victim. What's your first name, please?
Well, I mean, I've talked to you guys before, and anytime I say, you just call me Fyed, so.
Oh, all right, what are you, a dothead?
No, not a dothead, but I'm a camel jockey.
Okay, Fyed, right. Very good.
Do you think you conquered her, or did she conquer you?
I would have to say I think I conquered her because she probably went back for more.
I disagree, Fayette. If you are anything like the Fayette on 24, I imagine that she was sitting there going, look at that exotic, perhaps terroristic man at the bar, that Middle Eastern-looking man.
She probably had you in her gun sights from the word go. Like, and the fact that you think that it might have been your conquest, that was probably playing right into her plan. What do you think?
Did you leave any evidence behind?
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Fayed?
Hey, Fayed?
Oh, dear, he's been...
No, he's there. Fayed?
Oh, no. Oh dear.
He just hung up.
Jack Bauer just
arrived. He's gone. He just done hung up on
He couldn't handle the questioning.
Well,
he couldn't handle the debriefing.
I was going to give him season 5 of 24 on DVD. That was a good chance to mention. Don't forget to tune in 24, Monday night at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
You know, we're still working it through, but if you heard, I mean, if we're going to go by that criteria, pumas in their 30s, cougars in their 40s, leopards in their 50s.
You learn something every day.
They have spots.
Okay, we are just getting into the cougar situation.
There's a lot more clarification necessary, I think, and a lot more understanding of this phenomenon, and this cultural phenomenon.
Looking ahead at who Joe has, all I see are just... men with penises. I mean, I don't see any women. I see.
Oh, I think it would take a lot of guts for a woman to call.
Ron, John, Jimmy, Peter, Justin, Ronnie, Brian, Mike, another Justin. We have our guys on the phone.
There have to be, gutsy gals out there that would want to call and say, hey, I've done this before. I do this routinely.
I pray.
They're easy to prey upon, uh-huh. And they're easy to throw away.
Right? Well, when we come back, we'll see what we've got. We're going to try to find an actual cougar out there as well.
Please.
But if you're a guy and you can educate us and help us find our stable of cougars, we'll eventually go out and promote the show for us.
And the Dynamite Cougarettes can also be pumas, can't they?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
We want to have a little fun.
A couple of them can.
Sure, exactly.
But we got to have a couple leopards as well.
Yeah. For every puma, a leopard? How about two pumas for one leopard?
How about two leopards for one puma? Are we a comedy show or not?
You're absolutely
right. Do leopards have spots, Mike?
Way to be true to the cause.
Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, bring on your spots.
Women with spots.
That's what we're looking for.
Baby.
Women with spots.
Stay out in the sun.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. What you see is what you get with Females for Hire. And it's a lot more than you have ever seen. Yes, Females for Hire makes the happy hooker look like Mother Goose. It's all here, all of it, with everything left in and nothing left out. The story of the jungle they call the street and the girls who have become the most dangerous game on earth. Here is the marketplace, the buyers and the sellers, the conners and the conned, the dream and the nightmare. Females for Hire. They guarantee you a good time. The contract doesn't say you'll come out alive. You're playing with fire. With Females for Hire. From Independent International, yeah. Rated R.
I can't read.
Under 17, not admitted without parents.
The Don and Mike Show.
What you see is what you get. Females for Hire.
Go change your diaper, baby. I got the mojo, baby.
Giving idiots a bad name. Don and Mike.
Right.
We're the other woman.
Why don't you put on a skirt, you sissy?
Thank you, Phil. Getting back into the cougar discussion here. Just a reminder, a week from tomorrow, February 2nd, it is our Super Bowl absence show.
Oh, my God.
All right, that is next Friday on the show.
Everybody make transportation arrangements.
Uh-huh. I believe, are you guys burning that promo thing? We'll have that in a moment so we can explain exactly what it is we're trying to do with the Dynamite Cougarettes here.
Right.
And before we get back to calls, just a tip of the Dynamite cap.
Okay. Joe,
to our number one houseboy, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Joe, who is a graduate of Juilliard.
Joe.
Juilliard.
Yes, Don.
Juilliard. As you have on the screen, please spell the word cougar.
Hold on, I can't see the screen.
No, you just spell it for us. Spell it the way you've typed it. What was that whisper?
C-O-U-G-E-R.
And you've written it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Now, Joe, there's an A in there somewhere, Joe. You've made a mistake. Can you identify it?
Well, I suppose it's C-O-U-G-A-R.
There you go.
He's mentally retarded.
Nicely done.
Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Bye, Joe.
There you go.
As of this moment, no cougars have called yet. The ladies have not called, but the guys are still calling.
We have 8 million guys, though. Let me see. Hello, Mark. Don and Mike Show. Howdy, Mark.
How you doing, guys? Good to hear from you again. Glad you're all healthy, Mike. Is there a way...
Wait, hold on a second. Whoa. You said good to hear from me again.
Good to talk to you again.
Oh. All right.
Well, is there a weight limit for cougars?
The truth is we call our listeners. We call these guys to be on the show. Good to hear from you. Don and Mike, I just received the call. You were looking for my input. I'll stand by. I'll hang up and listen for my answer.
It's the same thing when we'll take a phone call, so you're on the air, and somebody will go, I'm fine.
I love that. Was the question, is there a weight limit on cougars?
I know you're throwing back the young ones.
Here's the thing. I don't think that fat cougars count. Because a cougar is someone who, even though she's leathery and old,
she's still trying to get it done.
It's still affable.
Yeah.
You know, she's not an old pig.
That's why we're having the cougarettes, because these are going to be handsome women. Right. These are going to be women that are a little long in the tooth, but they're still strong.
Well, we're going to have a couple of leopards.
A couple of leopards, but the leopards are going to be strong leopards.
And as an example, from our station here in D.C., our home station, 3FM, WJFK, whatever they're calling it this week.
Right. Yes.
Here's a promo that just ran during our commercial set, which talks about the cheerleaders that the sports junkies have.
Okay.
On their morning show. Okay.
3FM is three in the streets. BDK from the Junkies takes the chunk, gets himself to Circuit City in Leesburg, hiking Vienna. Join them Tuesday the 30th on your morning commute from 7 to 9. Besides looking hot and wearing almost nothing, the chunk gets will give away a $450 2007 Microsoft. Saturday the 27th.
Okay, well, you get the point. Now, we should be getting that same promotion on the station, and shame on us for not coming up with what every other DJ has, their own cheerleaders.
Do we have to say Cougarettes, or can we say the Don and Mike Cougars?
Either way, Mike,
I think Cougarettes would be, unoriginal. I think Cougars themselves, just pure Cougars.
What about the Sexolettes?
Discotheques in the that means we'd have to find a discotheque.
Stand by for maybe our first real life cougar.
Oh.
Hello, Erica?
Yes.
Are you a cougar?
Yes.
Erica, did I hear a man in the background there?
No, actually, but there are some.
How old are you, Erica?
32.
Is that old enough to be a cougar?
It's a puma. It's a cougar
you're right.
Young end. Yeah. The youngest man that you have bedded at 32?
24.
I don't know. 30, when you get into the pumas, I don't know. Age is so deceiving without seeing her, without seeing how many miles she... How many miles do you think you have on you?
Not very many, I would assume.
Are your tires bald?
Do you go out and pursue younger men as a habit?
Yeah, normally.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
That I most resemble?
Mike, I was just, you know what? No. She's too dense to be a cougar.
Yeah,
she still is a good looking
airhead. She has to be a little more cunning, so to speak. I love that word.
She's quite the runt. Quite the cunning runt. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Ryan.
Hi there, Ryan. Ryan or Brian?
Yeah. Ryan with an R, sir.
Thanks for letting us call you, Ryan.
Ryan, as you know, when we called you, we asked for your cougar experience, and what is it, please? And then hang up and listen.
There are plenty of dens. There are plenty of cougar dens that I've hunted in Old Town Alexandria.
Old Town Alexandria?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, a very strong working community. A lot of people that are slaying the dragon every day. I'm sure that has some cougar hangouts.
So. Absolutely. And there's a website, urbancougar.com, that will give you definitions. And they also have places. Yeah.
You know, let me stop you for one second there, Ryan. Ravi actually came to me during the break and showed me that site. We're aware of that site. We would rather go on real life experience,
yeah, sure,
rather
absolutely.
Than a website. Ryan, when you were with a cougar, how long ago was it?
2 months ago.
And give us the age parameters.
That's fresh.
I'm 26, and she was 41.
Okay,
that's prime.
That's good.
Prime. Cougar,
yep,
territory.
True.
How did it happen?
I walked into the bar with some of my buddies, and we just kicked back and threw down some drinks, and they approached us, her and a group of cougars approached us.
Good, and they were they strong looking cougars?
Yes, they were. They were very very tan. all of them had a good build, almost athletic.
That's a good cougar. That's the cougar we're looking for.
That's a strong cougar.
The athletic body.
You know, we want the cougar that, you know, does the 200 crunches a day.
That's
while
right.
She's saying, why can't I find a 6, 7, 9, 10?
Exactly.
Hello, what is this, Rob? He was approached by a pride of cougars.
Yeah, a pride, yes, a pride of cougars.
Is that what you call them?
Be a pride of cougars. How many in the pride?
Thank you, boy.
Four. There were four in the
four.
Pride.
Would that be a pride, Rob?
That would be
absolutely a pride. Were they all in their 40s, do you think?
Yes, either early 40s or definitely late 30s.
Okay.
And the one that you captured, tell us about the conquest.
Or the one that captured you.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. She captured me. I didn't have to do much other than chug the beers that she kept handing my way.
How did she seduce you, sir?
Well, actually, whenever we had sat down at the bar, the pride came over to us.
The pride.
And they had been watching us for 30 minutes, they said, and they decided to approach us, number one, for the stool, but they thought that we looked entertaining.
The stool.
So they sat down and immediately bought a round of drinks for us.
So the fact that now were your buddies very demonstrative and very energetic and laughing and having a good time, is that because this might be a tip for guys that are looking for cougars?
Yeah, I tell you what, travel in a pack and be lively
be full of life.
I am picturing you and your friends like the guys in Entourage. Is that what it is basically? That you you and Turtle and your other friends are going to Old Town Alexandria.
Yeah, well, there was just three of us, and I ended up with the 41-year-old. The other two struck out. One of them, they were dancing at the bar, one of them accidentally grazed a breast of one of the cougars, and she immediately...
Accidentally, huh?
Yes. So my friend was reprimanded and scalded, and then my cougar had lured me away off to a bench seat.
So your cougar lured you away from the pride and off to a secret area.
Correct.
Did you consummate there or at her place or your place?
Yeah, we actually went to her house, which was only a couple blocks away.
Seems to be a trend
now.
Now I think we're getting some interesting insight here. It seems to me that cougars, whether they're with the pride or without the pride, they seem to hunt within very close to where they live,
and they bring them back to their cave.
And we also see here another tool.
Their den, Don.
The den.
The cougar also hunts with her pocketbook. Because she has more money than the young
crew. This is the second time I've heard bought a round of drinks.
Sure, and what does that mean to a powerful cougar in the pride?
On our way back to the den.
That's right.
To be with her mother cubs.
So she took you back to her den. What happened then?
Yeah, she picked me up by my neck and took me back to the den. Mm. And basically, once we got there, she poured booze for us, some nice whiskey.
Awesome.
And basically showed me where the bedroom was.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you right there because I was curious about it. You said us. It was just you and the cougar, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So then pretty much when you went to the bedroom, did she devour you? Did you devour her? How long did the act take, and how long did it take you to get out of there?
Well, it took me an hour once it was all done and finished, mm-hmm. and I left. But once we got in there, it was all business. She basically threw me down and did everything that she wanted to do, how she wanted to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, you know, took me to school.
Okay.
This is a great cougar
call. You lead by example.
Fantastic.
There you go. All right, good one. Thank you, my friend.
That's excellent.
That's an outstanding cougar story.
That's really, I think that's a real typical example, right?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
As the search for the Don and Mike Cougars continues.
Still waiting for, we have that young cougar who really was disqualified.
You know, we'll talk about this over the next couple of days. This is something that I think you're absolutely right about. Women are going to have to get the courage up.
It's like a good chili, Don. I think it's going to need to, you know, mm-hmm. season for a while. It's going to need to percolate for a while.
I'm going
to
ask all of you women that are on your way to Clyde's tonight to think about calling the show tomorrow.
Please do. Please. on your way. If you're thinking about having a drink at Houston's down the street, you know, it might be a real nice idea to give us a call.
Hello there, Matt, Don and Mike show.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I've got a nasty, full-blown, it's a leopard story.
A leopard!
All right, I'll give you 1 minute because we're up on the Buzz News Hour, so go.
Okay, here's a fast one. I was at a club. It was closing time, you know, just about the time they're playing that stupid Last Dance song and the lights are getting ready to come up.
Yeah.
And this chick was easily late 50s, early 60s.
Hello.
And came up to me and handed me a bottle of beer and asked me to go outside with her. So I walked outside with her, and she told me to walk her to her truck and said,
truck.
All this has happened in the span of like 5 or 10 minutes. And she takes me to her truck, and she says she wants me to come home with her. And I'm 28 years old when this happens. And I say, well, why do I want to go home with you? And she says, well, get in my truck with you, and I'll show you why. So I get in the truck with her, and she gives me the FCC, let's see, how do you put that?
Wait, you got a BJ?
Monica?
Oh yeah, the full-blown, you know,
right.
Great job, all the way, full, you know, she took it like
so a... So it was quality, it was good?
It was quality. She probably took her teeth out when I...
Ah!
It was quality. And so then I told her I'd follow her to her house, and she gave me her address, and I went back to my car and drove back to my apartment and never saw her again.
That's a good cougar story.
Fantastic.
Right.
Wow.
Thank you. Now here's a question. Where are you calling from?
Wichita, Kansas.
All right. If now we were only planning this originally here in D.C., but let's say that in Wichita we have our own cougars in Wichita. Would you go to a local establishment to see them, to look at their age spots, to watch them promote the show?
Just to see the quality level of our cougars.
Oh, absolutely.
Would you? I mean,
because I seriously think our cougars, this is an older woman's ticket to fame and fortune.
Yeah. You remember, here's the commercial now that we run on WJFK, okay?
Free FM is free in the streets. BDK from the Junkies takes the junk out from himself to Circuit City in Leesburg, Tycoon, Vienna. Join them Tuesday the 30th on your morning commute from 7 to 9. Besides looking hot and wearing almost nothing, the junk guts will give away a $450 2,000 steps.
And then don't we get more promotion on our own radio station then?
Yeah, you would think. Of course we do.
Don't we become more than just an afterthought where it's like, oh yeah, the sports junkies, Opie and Anthony, oh, yeah, and Donna Mike, okay. They're still here.
I think the Cougars are our ticket back into the forefront.
Uh-huh.
And I think this could open up a whole publicity.
But then the station's got to run something like, going, you know, hi, this is Joe. Come see the Donna Mike Cougars. They might take care of you. Or whatever they say in that
right?
for the sports junkies, girl.
Hi, are you a woman between the age of 35 and 55? Have you always wanted to be a successful model but feel that life has passed you by? Then you could be one of the Don and Mike Cougars.
Were you up for a spot as an extra in Jurassic Park?
That'll pull them.
All right, Matt, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
See you later. It's Buzz News time.
Nothing like getting that beer, and then she says, come to my truck.
But I bet, like that guy said, I bet those cougars go the extra mile, man.
Of course they do. Absolutely.
They're hungry.
And let's mention experience, too.
Yes.
They know how to please.
That's okay, true. We got a break. We will pick this up tomorrow. Oh, my God. I can attest to this one, for goodness sakes. Hey, Gabe. Gabe in Sacramento. God damn, this guy is right on. I should have said this myself. Gabe.
How's it going, guys?
What's happening, Gabe?
Nothing much. I was just calling to give you a cougar story for you.
All right, just real quick, where's your location?
I'm in Sacramento.
No, I mean, where you saw the Cougars?
Actually, we were on a cruise ship. Me and my buddies were on a cruise ship.
Oh,
and I am telling you, there is no better place to get a Cougar than on the cruise ship.
Rob,
I took two pelts while I was on there.
Hold on
two
a second. Pelts. Yeah. Rob and I have both been on cruises, and we should have thought of that already.
We really should have. I saw a lot of them on that J-Date cruise I was on.
Sure. Yeah,
Cougars on water.
They do travel in their packs on the cruise ship.
Sure, like four or five women that'll be together, right?
And they've got that synchronized seating for dinner, and they're out there for the kill.
Right? Their pride.
Their pride.
The four or five.
Pride,
Dan.
Let's make sure we use the right feline terminology.
All right, well, I think this is going to be the next big thing. Gosh, I hope Mancow doesn't find this offensive towards women.
He'll kick us out of the Association of Responsible Disc Jockeys.
So we'll continue this tomorrow as we search for the Don and Mike Cougars. We will be right back with Freddie.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
In the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called? Bush baby.
Oh, you are sexy.
The bush babies. What are you doing?
Where's the one that says
with the big eyes?
Massive eyes.
Oh, my God.
Where is he saying I hated it?
I didn't understand a word of that.
No, hold on.
I hated it.
Yeah. Thank you, Simon.
Shut up. Welcome to the Don and Mike world of comedy.
It's time now for the Buzzcast.
That one wasn't really that funny.
Well, that's why it was funny.
Exactly.
Brought to you by Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Wing Sauce. Frank's Red Hot Sauce wants to be the halftime MVP of the big game. Use Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Wing Sauce to create restaurant-quality wings. Mm. And now, you're in the aforementioned Frank. Hi, Francis.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Well, you know me by now. You know I don't like to alarm people.
Oh, no, not you.
You do like to alarm people.
But your cat and your cell phone are trying to kill you. George Carlin once joked that scientists have determined that saliva causes cancer, but only when swallowed in small amounts over a long period of time.
That's one of his best lines ever.
It's like that with cell phones and brain tumors, apparently. They haven't been around that long, and we're just now starting to see the effect. A new study says that if you hold your cell phone to the same ear over a period, regularly, over a period of, say, 10 years, you're a lot more likely to develop a tumor on that side of your brain.
Not me.
40% more likely.
I looked at my brain today.
This was a large-scale study for you scientists to be published in this year's International Journal of Cancer. That's right. Cancer has its own magazine, just like Oprah.
Oh, how can I get a subscription?
International Journal of Cancer. Consider it done.
And you know you got a bad agent when he says, hey, hello, I got great news. You're on the cover of Cancer Monthly.
Congratulations.
And long feared and hated by Mike O'Mara, cats are now considered the bird flu link between birds and humans.
Bingo.
By some scientists.
Bingo. They must be destroyed.
I love cats, and there's a way
but
around
this. Evil, dirty, filthy, urinate in the corner animals.
They're smart,
they
loving,
are
clean
smart,
animals.
Great animals.
They're
right.
Horrible animals, and they're evil, and they're really part of the devil.
No, you've got that all wrong.
It's the devil's work.
The bird flu that killed millions at the end of World War I was transmitted to people by pigs. But a new study in the parts of England that have had bird flu outbreaks showed that the bird flu virus mutates in cats just as it did in those pigs.
Yes, hold everyone on, should have been able to identify this due to their unfriendliness.
I look at where's the, you said pig?
I'm in to win, and that's what I intend to do.
That's for all you hill haters out there.
They'll love you for that.
Mutates in cats only faster. Even in Asia, where pigs were the transmitters, they found
a
lot of dead cats.
Well, if we do have to take care of this at a certain point, I'm here to say I'd love to volunteer.
I know. We'll
all right,
that.
Dr. Mengele.
Now, this doesn't mean cats will be the link between fluish birds and humans, just that they might be. Keeping them indoors, or at least keeping them away from birds and bird droppings, might protect you and your cat. Over 50% of the pet owners in this country have cats.
So who wants to keep their cats indoors? No one.
I do. All I do is mine never go out.
Mine is an indoor cat. We do not let her outside.
They live longer if you keep them indoors.
All right. Didn't know that.
Especially in Mike's neighborhood.
Yeah,
especially in Mike's neighborhood.
That's a shame, because really, if you do have a problem, look, the last thing I would want to see would be this type of a health problem, resulting in the need to euthanize a large number of cats. However, if it did happen, I think you could actually provide an entertaining way of doing that.
I'm a pussy lover, Mike.
Stop it. Yeah, you could actually
I'm an advocate for pussy.
You could do things that I've read about where, you know, it would involve a field and a lawnmower.
I've read about that. I've been
reenacting. And you put the cats in a little Roman outfit. It's delightful.
You're a pussy killer. That's what you are. I won't stand for it. Antonio Banderas and I from Shrek 2.
Well, that's right. Puss in Boots. I'll give you the big eyes. They always do with that cat.
And everybody, you can take my money right now for Shrek 3 and burn it. I saw the ad.
Yeah.
Why go to the movie? Hey, donkey, you're going to be put in the body of Puss in Boots.
Dude, donkey.
Hey, Puss in Boots, you're going to be put in the body of donkey. Oh. And for the first time, when I saw the high-def ad for the new Shrek movie,
yeah,
the effects to me looked like that Orville Redenbacher commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that...
it's animated anyway.
I know it's animated, and it's done with that computer animation, but the entire industry is catching up so quickly that where 5-6 years ago, is that when Shrek first came out?
Yeah, right, I think so.
You would
look at it. It's dated now.
Yeah, you'd go, God. Now you look at the handsome prince and you go,
yeah, everything looks like that.
That is a Jesus. Fake. That's a fakey looking. Mm-hmm. There are better graphics on my video games now.
Yeah, but it's Shrek 3. Is this the third one?
Right.
Yeah. Sure. No, come on, an original idea, please.
And like all of those movies, I believe every funny scene in the entire film was in the 60-second trailer.
I'm sure.
So,
yeah, sure.
So why go see it?
You've seen it.
Yanni.
Are you aware that Larry King and Regis Philbin are playing the Ugly Stepsisters?
God. And Larry King was in it once before, but now they have an expanded role?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Okay, let's go see it.
Sounds entertaining to me.
Maybe you heard...
Did you see the ads? My God, there's hype for it. 115 days till Shrek.
Oh, my God. Really? Well, it's a big marketing thing. It will sell. People like the first two, and stupidly, they will buy the third one.
Works on 4- and 6-year-olds. They already wanted a firm commitment to go see it.
I'm more inclined to go see that Al Gore documentary on how cats are responsible for death.
Maybe.
For death around the world.
God, when will you start to love pussy?
I do.
There's one of those pauses again. Maybe you heard about the American Airlines passengers who spent 10 hours on a tarmac in Austin, Texas last month. No food, overflowing toilets, hot and stinky, with no explanation and no compensation, they said. People were having panic attacks. 10 hours on the same plane.
Yeah.
Same
TV. Yeah. The stars of night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Well, you haven't heard the last of those passengers. They've gotten together again and produced the Airline Passengers Bill of Rights.
Ten hours on a tarmac?
With the same group of people. No air conditioning, no food. They ran out of water. The toilets were overflowing. It stunk because of the toilets and because of the people confined in this box for 10 hours.
What
and the pilot wouldn't take them back to the gate.
Excuse me, what is the airline again?
American Airlines.
Oh, that's a big one.
Pilot says he was following the rules, that he couldn't take them back to the gate until he finally broke the rules, supposedly, and eventually took them back.
Only aborted takeoff when I was on a plane was American Airlines. I don't know if you were with me or not, but you might have been. Were you on that flight with me where we, I think it was a different time we were leaving Texas, and we were on different flights, but the 727 spooled all the way up. You haven't lived until you've been on an aborted takeoff.
Rob and I were on the tarmac for over 6 hours, right?
6 hours when
we went there, we took our families like 5 years ago to Europe.
Are you ready to kill somebody when that happens?
Yes.
God.
Yes.
Not if you're in first class.
With air conditioning, right?
How was it for you in the back of the plane, Rob?
It was a bit tedious.
Wow. So it didn't faze you at all?
Oh, no, I was mental about it.
Oh, yeah.
I was squirrely. Well, I mean,
so
there's only so much cheap champagne they can bring you at some point.
Right.
You know, when you say, Jesus Christ, and really, literally.
No drinks in coach.
We sat for 6 hours.
Oh,
I know that's nothing compared. And the toilets worked. So
right, yeah.
Who am I to complain?
A little better off, but still, if this airline passenger's bill of rights were to pass, it would require airlines to return passengers to the gates after 3 hours on the tarmac. That would be the maximum. There is no maximum now. But the law would also penalize the airlines for losing your luggage or bumping you from flights. Now they're looking for a lawmaker with the guts to sponsor it. Today, a Senate committee looking into airline mergers convened.
Was that written by ManCal?
No.
I was just remembering something else that we did when we were we had that incredible layover.
Yes.
So we're on the tarmac.
Where was this? Where was
at Dulles Airport?
Dulles Airport. Okay.
So we're on the tarmac and for 6 hours. They say this flight is canceled tonight. We cannot leave until tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the next day we come back to the airport, the huge wait. We're getting drunk at like 10 in the morning. Rob and I, our wives and the kids and everybody are just sitting around this lounge. And I remember it was a Sunday morning. Robin, I started calling Oldies 100.
Charlie Donovan.
From whatever it is, the British Airways Lounge.
Loaded, like you'd expect that call.
It was 10 a.m. He was on the big green bottles of beer. I was on vodka on like 2 days sleep. Our wives come in with the kids.
2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, what did I say?
Right, 2 days sleep.
Well, no, 2 hours sleep.
Right.
Our wives come in. They're like, the plane's not leaving for 4 more hours. The kids are dragging. Rob and I are bombed going
laughing.
We're calling Charlie Donovan for Raider Record.
And what was so bad is the night before when we really needed a drink, remember there was not a drink to be had in the hotel?
No booze.
And we were panicked. I mean, you were claiming, do you know who I am?
I did pull that card out.
Yeah, well, sure.
You really
wanted a drink.
We really did.
We've been on a tarmac for 6 hours. They brought us to a hotel that smelled like number one.
Oh, no.
And right away, I was like, is there any booze? I'm sorry, it's 3 a.m. The bar is closed.
Mm. How much does that suck?
Awfully. Yeah, I really did do that. I cut the line and everybody said, did anybody here listen to the radio? Anybody listen to the radio?
Once in a while, you got to pull that card out.
And what I said was, yes, do you know who he is?
I think you guys are really going to like this story. Stephen Wilkinson couldn't have been happier when he saw the message on the Wheel of Fortune slot machine. It said on the screen, Power Play Jackpot, Stephen Wilkinson, congratulations, you've just won $102,000. And then it said, pay the patron 408,000 quarters.
You know, Buzz, I heard a little something about this. Mike, I'd be curious for your reaction
to
what the casino did.
There's the winning message. He called over an attendant. She saw the message, patted him on the back, and then he says another young woman came over, did the same thing. Then a third woman who brought a walkie-talkie, she said the head of the casino would be out shortly to hand him a check. It's actually a racetrack, Philadelphia Park, just outside Philly. Stephen never got that check.
Now, this is the slot machine that Mike is addicted to, the
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune slot machine.
The manager said that winning message was really just part of a systems test and it really shouldn't have been seen down on the floor. The manager offered Stephen a couple of free trips through the buffet, but no check.
Well, I know enough about it where I will tell you that, I mean, it's real clear.
Yeah.
If it's on the pay line and or if it's up there, up top.
And confirmed by employees.
I mean, if it was on the pay line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you're saying to me is a message that on a slot machine they will put in the... There are two ways you say you're going to get paid. A lot of times you will see the pay line and you won't know what you're getting paid, but you have to look in the left-hand corner.
I saw it on TV, Mike. It said... That
if it was a pay line,
the
across...
The payout said, and then it said on top, $100,000.
Okay, and what I'm telling you, that every slot machine has... It sounds like a Progressive, which it probably was, a Progressive jackpot, which is a big pool of slot machines that have one big jackpot,
right.
And it has to have a certain thing on the pay line. If that wasn't on the pay line, it doesn't matter what the little message says, they are in no way obligated to pay it.
But they ran over to the guy, they did the whole thing where they shut down the machine, and
it sounds to me like it probably was, you know, double diamond, double diamond, double diamond. It was on that pay line, and he should have gotten paid. I'd like to see the way it looked.
And then I'd also heard, Buzz, that they gave the guy $100. Not only did they offer him two buffet tickets, they gave him $100.
You can't win a slot machine if you're putting your money in it and you get the pay line. I can't believe that they would say that was a system check.
Stephen.
However, if the little box where they say you've just won this says that and there's not the jackpot on the pay line, they have an argument. But I'd like to see what the guy was looking
at. It said $102,000 and what is it, 408,000 quarters.
But it doesn't matter if it wasn't on the pay line that he had hit a jackpot, then they still...
On both screens. It was an upper screen and a lower screen, and these were the two messages that were on the two screens. I'm not familiar with the machine.
I saw it on MSNBC today, and I've watched you play the game enough that it looked to me like...
Like he hit a jackpot?
Yeah, because you know how they got like that almost like a ticker, like crawl on the top of it?
Right, exactly. That sounds when you put your... When you put your little comp card in there,
right.
That says, welcome, you've earned so many points, and it also said, tells you how much you've won.
As it scrolled across, I saw this on a minute. I'm a...
You're excited.
It said $102,000.
Right.
And if it had like a double diamond, double diamond, double diamond, or something where, you know, it's across the pay line,
clearly,
then he wins. But if it wasn't and they put that, what that says in that box is meaningless.
But I'm not seasoned at it like you are. I'm watching this from a lay perspective going... Hold on a second.
It said he won.
Here's the guy that pulled the thing. It says you win. People come over to him. Now, at this point...
I don't think people are coming over to him if he didn't hit a jackpot, so it probably was the whole thing.
But that,
and I don't know how they could get away with not paying him.
Then you have to see the video on MSNBC. Because there are people from the hotel. They show the security cameras where the people come over and say to him, like the manager comes over, slaps him on the back. The girl with the big boobs and the slinky outfit comes over and starts rubbing his back, and they're saying, "You're a winner. You're
a
winner."
I love to see it. I want to see that video because it sounds to me like the guy just tried to fake it, and then we wouldn't be getting all this press if that didn't happen.
And why didn't the casino just eat it and give the guy his money? They would get so much better publicity at this point, right?
Because probably, it sounds to me, what is it, a track? It's a horse track.
Uh-huh.
It's a racetrack that doesn't have the same kind of pockets that some of those casinos have.
Right.
You know, one of the things, if you go out to Las Vegas, if you go off the strip and you go to the smaller places, where I have been, it's amazing how tiny some of these little casinos are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that $100,000, it really does affect their bottom line. It's not like one of the big places like Harrah's or something like that. So, you know, who knows? So, but they were still trying to screw the guy.
Well, when you get home tonight, turn on, that channel, 3-something.
Right, okay.
300-something.
Very good.
Steven wants his 100 grand, and he wants the Gaming Commission to take a look at this. A track spokesman says, just a wacky mix-up, and, quote, an unfortunate one, I might add, end quote.
What if they could say that every time? We were testing our machine.
Right. That's why I was so curious about that story and what you would have to say.
It's a screw job.
Isn't there on every machine a tiny plaque that says any malfunction voids all transactions?
Yeah, there might be.
I know that that's really unfortunate, as he said, but I think that's going to be their bottom line.
Isn't that like the disclaimer says you have an erection that lasts more than 4 hours? Please see a doctor right away.
Yes, very much like that.
Okay.
Speaking of cheaters,
he had that too.
Speaking of cheaters, Fox wants to know who put last week's episode of 24 on YouTube before it ever aired on Fox. Fox lawyers slapped YouTube with a subpoena yesterday, demanding the website tell Fox the identity of the uploader.
Yeah, but this office demands results.
That's right.
And that's what I provide.
Who wants to watch it on that little screen, though?
Oh,
you can help us stop this, please.
I know.
Please.
But I can now play iPod videos on my big screen.
Shut up! Oh,
really?
Yeah.
What was?
I can now play.
Shut up!
Okay. Another smaller website.
Shut up! Shut up!
I'm not going
Shut
to.
Up. Shut up! Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up! What the Air Force One just hit?
It's pointless.
Well, he sure is. Fox is also pursuing the uploaders of most of Season 7 of The Simpsons. And by the way, the latest survey of Americans shows the majority have no problem with someone downloading copyrighted material so long as they're not doing it for profit.
Buzz, give us 1 second. We got a break.
I can play videos on my big screen, too. It's called a DVD player.
So we've got that slot. Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hi, how's it going, guys? I live in Las Vegas, and we had an article in the newspaper about a slot machine problem.
Yeah.
And no, in Las Vegas, the law is if there's any kind of malfunction at all in the machine, the payout is voided.
Wow.
All right, my friend.
Shocker.
What a jip.
That blows.
That's how they
Jesus
get
Christ,
you.
That would suck ass.
Mm-hmm.
USA, you suck ass.
I might have to be violent at that point. I might have to kick a few of those machines.
Yeah.
You ever go, you've gambled enough where you ever go to the slot machine where you see the little plexiglass got a little crack in it?
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder really, I mean, with the cameras on you, who's the guy that has that level of frustration?
I think I know.
They escorted him out.
Suck on that, losers.
The wrong way to celebrate Martin Luther King Day when we return.
Hi, Rob.
I thought I did a fine job.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show. On the cusp of entertainment, the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. I bet you, Big Dick Cheney.
I just think it's hogwash.
I like to say
it's hogwash. Yeah.
How's it going? Here is Fred Friendly. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
You know, we talked yesterday about the comparisons made between Bush and Nixon and when a president should or should not be stopped when he goes astray. Among our conclusions, what Nixon did was criminal. What Bush has done was just misguided. But Watergate hero Carl Bernstein, who had a lot to do with Nixon's resignation, says Bush is worse than Nixon. Or at least that Bush has done more damage in terms of lives lost and neighbors alienated. The worst of it, says Bernstein, is the lying. A lot of Americans enjoy the politically...
Yeah, you know, you say stuff like that just to get a reaction out of me.
No, not
you really do. I hate defending El Stupido.
Uh-huh. I'm just telling you what Bernstein said.
I know. Bernstein's got a big hard-on against the world. That guy loves hearing the sound of his own goddamn voice. I'm so sick of seeing Carl Bernstein as the expert on everything just because he's written books.
Well, he
thank you.
He broke a story that brought down a president.
Yes, he did. Yeah. 35 years ago.
What about Woodward? Where's Woodward?
Rest on those laurels.
Okay.
Woodward wrote that book about everything.
That's right. Woodward was Robert Redford, so mm-hmm. it's better.
You know, here's the thing.
And together they were Woodstein.
Right. Now, mm-hmm. Nixon didn't get any soldiers killed, but Jesus Christ, Nixon lied more than Bush lied. I mean, yes. It's certainly his opinion. And you throw it out there just so I'll say
so
something about
say.
It.
So you say.
Anyway, never mind. A lot of them, I like walked onto Atlanta. That's like CSI Miami the other night.
Tough, yeah.
Did you see those, those guys from Cuba that...
I thought that was so unbelievable, didn't you? That CSI Miami.
I like seeing the
like,
guy.
Like, seriously, that you're going to kill a guy by putting a landmine on a beach, and you're going to count on the fact that 5 square inches
right.
is going to be... He's going to land right on the middle of it when he's running up the beach.
But ain't that a pretty picture in high def?
Oh, it's a gorgeous picture. Does that not make you want to get on a plane and go to Florida?
You know, like
every time you see it.
You know, my girlfriend said, hey, see, the beginning of CSI Miami this week, some boat person from Cuba swam to Miami.
It happens.
And anyway, was running on the beach when he got to the United States.
Baseball prodigy.
Stepped on a landmine, right, yeah, a minor leaguer. Right. And boom, went boom like Linda McCartney. Mm-hmm. Or Linda McCartney was against the landmine.
Yes.
No,
Heather
care.
Mills
Heather.
Was Heather, against
well, yeah, the girl
mind.
Without the leg.
Right.
Well, this is why that guy shouldn't write books.
Now see what he's done.
Anyway, my girlfriend says, you know, if we put some of those down on our border, down with Mexico, I don't think we'd have a problem.
What could possibly go wrong?
I think she might be right.
And I had to stop her for a second and I said, you know... Okay, I might be all right with landmines around our borders. We just tell Americans, don't go where the mines are.
Yeah, I said on the surface it sounded so good, and then there's that whole international community thing.
But to get back to the original thing that Buzz threw out just to get me to say something, Bush, I'm afraid to say, in my humble opinion, is not as evil uh-huh. in his heart.
Right.
As Nixon was. Therefore, you really, Bob Woodward, who loves writing books and shut the frig up, mm-hmm. they're not the same.
But I don't think Bush is as, really, even with Nixon. Nixon was more paranoid than Bush, obviously, if you read about his presidency.
Right.
But Bush, I think, is less inclined to want to admit that he is wrong.
Is it because Nixon was smarter? Is that what
Nixon was much smarter.
Yeah, absolutely. Smarter. Yeah, and Nixon much more calculated.
Absolutely.
Knew what was going on, even sitting in the White House with the thermostat at 30 and a big fireplace. And
exactly.
Who hasn't seen Anthony Hopkins in that role and gone, God damn, he's good.
Yeah, and you look around the people around Bush are the people they're saying now. You know, I think history's going to judge them as kind of the culprits of everything that went wrong because he really was swayed a lot.
He's Madam and Karl Rove is Wayland Flower.
There you go.
Right?
Yes. You know, a lot of Americans enjoy the...
So, Buzz,
yes?
Stop bashing our president.
Just report
Stop comparing him to Milhouse.
Okay.
Compare him to somebody else for a change.
But you got
to
realize that the guys like Rumsfeld were Nixon guys anyway. Yeah, so, I mean, you got to make comparisons that way.
God, how long are you going to hold a grudge?
For years.
A lot of Americans enjoy the politically incorrect humor, like the students at Tarleton State University in Stephenville, Texas, who got together for Martin Luther King Day. They dressed in gang apparel, ate fried chicken, and drank malt liquor. Some wore Afro wigs and fake gold teeth. One student dressed as Aunt Jemima. Photos of all this turned up on Facebook.com. There is a chapter of the NAACP at Tarleton State University, quoting its president, who's a sophomore.
This is not a funny story.
There is no excuse for this type of ignorance.
Cut the jibba jabba.
The faggot...
This is not a funny story. What about the faggot?
The faggot gate. The faggot gate saga continues for the folks on Grey's Anatomy.
Ah, that's been going... I think that's going to be going on too long.
It
what
has.
Is, what is Woodward,
is
what would a Woodward or Bernstein have to say about that?
Actually, Carl Bernstein said that it was both Nixon and Bush's fault.
About faggot gate.
In Grey's Anatomy.
Yesterday, Isaiah Washington checked into a facility at the insistence of the network, ABC. It's not a substance abuse issue, we don't think. He is staying...
Was it like a homophobe institute?
He's going for regrooving, yes. His stay begins with a psychological assessment.
Regrooving.
After calling one of his co-stars a faggot, and then comes the counseling, perhaps some kind of sensitivity training.
Wow. Going away for that?
Boss said he had to.
Wow.
What
What the hell is wrong with our country?
You know, it seemed to me that if you didn't have a substance abuse program, problem, and you had like an anger management thing where you had to actually go away, I would certainly hope that at that place where you're getting that training, you get some booze.
You should be free too. Yeah.
Folks.
Because don't you think you should, if you have to go to anger management, you should be able to at least learn how to handle your anger when you're drunk as well as sober.
How else are you going to get happy if you don't drink?
Exactly.
And these are just words.
That's right.
I mean, not to belittle, you know, the
hatred and bullying,
the hurt when the words like that are used.
Right.
But they're just words. They're just words.
Well, I say a full bar at whatever facility it is, as long as you don't have a substance abuse problem, if you have anything you need to be reprogrammed for, you know, you ought to be able to do it while having some cocktails.
So are we going
to
send Kramer there, too? Are we going to send Kramer to the one, if you say the N-word?
Well, if we do send him somewhere, we ought to have a full
have
bar.
Booze?
Yeah.
What if it's a gay bar?
It's a gay bar, it's okay. I mean, gay people need anger management as well.
But the guy from Grey's Anatomy couldn't have his anger management at a gay bar.
No, he couldn't. That would be
and
impossible.
And Kramer could not have his at an inner-city hip-hop bar.
No, he could not.
Looks like Van Halen will be...
We figured out the world's problems today.
Solved. All fixed. Looks like Van Halen will be touring with David Lee Roth after all. There were skeptics when Roth made that prediction last year. The rest of the band will be Alex and Eddie and Wolfgang. Sammy Hagar won't be with
Alex
them.
And Eddie and who?
Wolfgang.
Okay.
Is he from Tijuana?
No, it's Tijuana.
Tijuana.
And how do you say Wolfgang?
Wolfgang.
And what's that place in the Pacific?
Kuala Lumpur.
Okay. All right.
It's fun, isn't it?
It sure is.
He's taken up, Sammy Hagar has taken up with former bassist Michael Anthony, and there's bad blood all around. So there's your answer to which Van Halen will play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony in March.
Are you like me, Mike? Did you always have the feeling when Van Halen was really getting it together? Everybody loves Eddie.
Yep.
And you love his brother, the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't you get the feeling that Michael Anthony, that bass player, in some ways was like the heart and soul of the band, even though everybody else did everything. He just was standing there constantly with that.
He was the glue.
Boom, 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 boom.
It bums me out. I was one of the people that hoped that it would be David Lee Roth and
Sammy Hagar. Me too.
But no way that was going to happen.
That's too smart. That's why that didn't happen. It's too smart.
Well, have you seen Eddie lately? Have you check out Eddie on YouTube? There are a few wonderful. There's a great video of Eddie on YouTube. Where he's at the Gibson guitar anniversary.
Yes.
And he puts the cigarette up there, and he is
blottoed. Plus, he's starting to look like a combination of, who's the old guy on The Simpsons? I'm having
Mr. Burns.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He's kind of Mr. Burnsy, and he's so gaunt, and he's got a little John Lennon Beatle bifocals on.
He is really a mess. He really is. I mean, wasn't it the last tour that they had to cancel because of Eddie?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens when David Lee Roth is part of it, too.
From our Kick 'em While They're Down department, K-Fed is taking some crap for the KFC commercial he's doing for the Super Bowl. In it, he plays a geeky fast food worker who dreams of his former career in showbiz.
Oh, this is another thing that's wrong with America. Okay, lay it on us,
Fast
guys.
Food workers speaking to the National Restaurant Association are offended by this.
I said, shut up and just get us our friggin' food.
They believe that any job in the fast food service industry is enough to make you glad you came to this country. The NRA, which in this case refers to food, not guns, says KFC and KFC.
You're making me laugh. You are.
Thank you.
Just get us our food. Restaurant workers say they're making it seem as though restaurant work is demeaning or unpleasant.
That's right.
It is not.
It is not.
Gee, I hope this doesn't draw more
noble occupation.
Fast food restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
Not a four-star joint like your place.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
In sports, the NFL has added another substance to the list of drugs for which players will be tested. This one's a blood booster called EPO. The league will also be testing for artificially high testosterone levels and, in some cases, also test for HGH, human growth hormone. The league and the union agreed to tougher testing yesterday, with more players being tested and more substances on the list.
Right.
A positive test for steroids will mean a player loses his signing bonus, which up till now was often the only guaranteed income he had.
How many people, the NFL gets such a pass because we love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these guys now, and they just say they're coming out bigger, they're growing up bigger.
It's crap.
You see a guy now that's like 6'7", and weighs 350, and nobody bats an eye.
And I would love to see him ban it so that the guys would go back to having a normal look, because I think the NFL was better back then. don't you? When now you look at those guys and it's like looking at G.I. Joes, that they're all out there and they look exactly the same. I mean, all the guys look all the guys are cut. And it used to be, do you remember the days of the NFL where you'd have guys come out and they actually, man, look at that guy. He must really work out.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them were kind of schlubby, you know?
Almost finally, a guy in Wurzburgo, New York.
I think the Kansas City team is a real top football team. It doesn't compare with the National Football League team.
Thank you, Vince.
And finally, news from Tijuana.
Oh, hi, Buzz.
As we told you before, the Mexican government's taken all the guns away from every cop in Tijuana. There's a lot of corruption in that department. There have been a string of unsolved murders. Each gun now is being checked by ballistics. When the investigating's over, they'll get their guns back. The latest development, Tijuana cops have been given, in the meantime, slingshots. Each slingshot comes with a bag of marbles for ammunition.
Run, read a fast kid.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Are we looking at the same clock today?
I think so. It's okay. Sorry, we're out of time.
On my clock, we got plenty of time. And I think we can talk a little bit about these NFL players that are growing tails.
Yeah, and all those guys that are writing books.
How do you feel about that, Frank?
I think it's wrong.
I'm wrong. It's all wrong.
You know what I was trying to do there, Mike?
You were trying to talk it up, right?
No, I wasn't.
I just said you was trying to talk it up.
Do you know what I was trying to do, Buzz?
No.
I'm doing the pause thing we did at the beginning of the show.
Yes, it took me twice to get it, but did you get it the second time?
Oh, sure. I knew when the music faded.
He won't play the pause game. We established that earlier.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
I was expecting the pause.
with the all-new episode. Oh, that's okay. You leave me hanging. I'm fine.
I'm not leaving you hanging.
No. I mean, I'm fine with the game. I'm fine being the last one to talk.
I was waiting for you
pause.
I was waiting for you to say what you always say at this time of the day. Good day to me.
See, Mike doesn't have a problem with either. Buzz,
yes.
Learn it, live it, know it, embrace it. It's the pause game.
Right.
And I was actually waiting for you to say it to me because I was going to do something funny.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And we're going to talk about your mushrooms tomorrow.
All right.
Ahead?
You know what?
What?
I like that.
I had an undry dream last night.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.